about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. These feelings are real. This moment is real.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Did you ever have something that you really loved? That you accidentally killed or hurt in some way?
With a machete?
No.
No, me neither. Wouldn't that be terrible, though?
How would you live with yourself?
I know, right? Exactly.
No Jack FM DJ has ever been caught falsely admitting to a crime as a hoax and then getting caught because someone recognized his voice and then had to do community service and had a TV movie loosely based on the incident made about it. At least we can say that.
Don't you get it? I don't know.
And now,
with all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:33 on Wednesday, the 24th of July.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Bean.
They're fine.
I wasn't even asking.
All right.
Why don't you ever ask? Don't you care?
I do care. I care very much. I care more than you'd like to know. Hey, first of all, how's everybody?
Good.
Good.
Second of all, what are we going to do about Anthony Weiner?
Just elect him.
Yeah, right.
Just elect him and get it over with.
Elect him for fun.
Gonna happen.
Now, this is the guy, for folks who don't recognize the name, and how do you not recognize Anthony Weiner? It's right there in the name, Weiner. He's the guy who resigned from Congress a couple of years ago because it was revealed that he was having all sorts of sexy chat on the internet with various women around the country. And, of course, he was married, and his wife became pregnant and had a baby, and he resigned from Congress and said, well, those days are behind me. But he did tell us at the time that there may be other women, and that information might eventually come out. Remember, he said that one that we caught him on was not the only one.
Right.
Well, now another one has come out. Except what's different this time around is that this happened 6 months after he resigned from Congress and said that he was putting his bad behavior to bed.
But see, here's the thing. He's not in politics anymore.
He's so running for mayor of New York City.
Hold on. 6 months after he got kicked out. He's not in politics at that point. So what does he have left? Just sexting.
That's how he's filling his time, you mean?
Yeah.
So the question is the credibility of whether this is the type of person that you can believe in or trust, or is he too shaky and shady and is he hiding too much, and will it compromise the integrity of the office and blah, 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 blah. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know whether he'd be a good mayor of New York City or not. But I do know that nobody trusts him and nobody wants to vote for him now because his poor – you know, wife was standing next to him at another press conference yesterday.
What's wrong with her?
Yeah, enough already.
Seriously.
He's going to go through a nasty divorce. There's no way she's staying. There's just no way.
I mean, help me out with the timeline, Lisa. Did they kind of stay together last time because she was pregnant? Was that part of the deal?
I think that was part of it. And I think you do get into that, you know, I know you screwed up and maybe there's things we have to work on and there's things you have to work on. Let's do that and we'll make this good. But 6 months later, he was at it again.
By the way, and this is just the latest one we heard about.
Right.
We don't even know if he'd done it other times. You heard his nickname, right?
Well, that's what I want to get to.
Okay.
So this is a 22-year-old girl, this one, and he had a 6-month-long sexually explicit photos and phone sex relationship with her. And he said he was going to buy her a condo in Chicago so they could meet and have sex.
Oh,
he was talking about getting her a job.
She was talking about giving him a job.
She knew that it was Anthony Weiner that she was talking to because she was, you know, she was turned on by the fact that he was this public person, and she, you know, was turned on by the fact that he was famous.
Oh, really? So she liked the fact that he was in the public eye.
She knew he was married and the whole deal. But what Kevin's referring to is he did not use the name Anthony Weiner in these chat rooms. He went by the name Carlos Danger.
That is awesome.
Which. How do you take anybody seriously if their online name is Carlos Danger?
I think I'm torn because Anthony Weiner is probably more accurate.
Right.
But Carlos Danger, that's strong. I mean, but he has to be doing that with a grin, right? With a little smile.
I don't know. He's a giant geek.
Well, but you think he seriously thinks like that'll turn women on?
I do.
I think he might.
Carlos
Danger. I think he might too. Well, I'm very excited to announce, if you haven't seen it yet, that Slate.com has a Carlos Danger name generator. So let's find out what all of our names will be for our online sexting, shall we? So let me type my name in here. I am Victor Violence. Victor Violence, or Violence, I'm not sure. That's my name.
All right.
Let's see. What,
I don't want violence in my name, if that's all right.
Let's see what Kevin is here. He is...
Sausage Party.
You are Gustavo Catastrophe.
That's pretty good.
Gustavo Catastrophe.
It's pretty accurate for me.
All right. Let's try Lisa May here.
All right.
You are Ricardo Clandestine.
Ooh, I like it.
That is a cheap-ass name generator. Yeah.
All right, let's try Muggs here. Is it A-N or O-N at the end? It's A-N, right?
A-N, yeah.
All right, hang on. Here's Muggs. His Carlos Danger. Oh, he's Victor Furtive.
What?
Victor Furtive.
Let's change that to Victor Fat.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what's going to happen. The New York Times has pulled their support. They've come out and said, look, he has to drop out of the race. We can't trust this guy. He's not competent or qualified to be mayor now.
Yeah.
He's just got a deep personality flaw. So we'll see what the voters will say. Up until this point, by the way, he had been leading. He had been leading in the polls.
And he is refusing to step down, right?
Yes. He says he is not going to step down.
Because of his impressive poll.
He says, no, seriously, this time it's behind me. I'm not doing it anymore. That was last summer. What are you still asking me about last summer?
I suspect there are a lot of our elected officials that do stuff like this that don't come to the... to the public, but just from a fact of being crippled politically,
right.
your enemies always have some way to bring you down. It just seems like for that reason alone, you'd have to not vote for the guy.
Did he think that name would keep her from finding out who he was, or he just?
She knew who he was.
She knew, and he knew she knew, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carlos Danger.
Ralph Garman is Diego Distress, by the way. Pretty strong.
I love it.
That's good.
I love it.
Bye-bye, Wiener.
All right. Don't say that. That's sad. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Shut up and sit down, you big bald.
We have the guys who came up with Fox Animation on the program today.
Oh.
And tell us about that whole system. And
all right.
Our question is, why isn't everyone doing this?
No kidding.
Starting their own.
Be working.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to them. We have You Hid Stuff Inside You.
Ladies.
No.
Guys.
Ladies and guys. Matt Money Smith talking about the Dodgers. And
you've never one time hidden anything in your
vagina?
No. Not once?
Not once. Okay.
All right.
Matt Money Smith will be here talking about the Dodgers in first place.
How about that?
And also the big drug scandal.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that.
I don't know who's going to be left to play, by the way, if everybody potentially implicated in this goes down.
I've been saying this for a long time. Baseball needs steroids. Let's let them juice. Everyone juice. Just juice it up.
You've had your wish because that's what's been going on.
Now you've got a game. Harvey Levin will be here. We want to ask him about Amanda Bynes specifically. We have Bill Hader.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to him over the weekend at Comic-Con. And we have some live music from Bastille on today's show. And a brand new internet roundup as well.
All right.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, how you doing?
Hey, Bean Baxter, how are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
But couldn't be a weird sentence to get out. Hey, Ralph Garman, who's about to do the Showbiz Beat and give us the news from the news. How are you?
Bean's not just a verbal blender. He just puts words in there and whatever comes
I like
up.
To keep things moving. You know me. I don't like to be the roadblock.
No, you are a mover and a shaker.
That's what I'm about.
You know that about you.
Forward momentum. That's me, man.
You're like a young Amanda Bynes.
How dare you?
You're full of creative energy. Amanda, of course, you heard the news yesterday. We broke it here late in the day that she may finally be getting the help she so desperately needs. Currently under a 5150 psychiatric hold in a hospital for mental evaluation. This after she set a small bonfire on the driveway of some elderly woman that she didn't know. You know how that happens.
It's happened to all of us at one point or another.
Right.
We'll talk to Harvey from TMZ about this in a little while, but it sounds like she was going for an explosion, right? This wasn't a little fire, right, Ralph?
Well, she had a little red gas canister, you know, one of those ones that you fill up when you're out of gas and you need to put a couple gallons in. So she was doing something. They say reportedly she burnt some of her own clothing as well. So it sounds like it was just some sort of weird bonfire. She was using the gasoline perhaps as an accelerant. But the best part is, I don't know if you saw after the news broke today, that TMZ was able to hunt down some security photos, some security cam of her shopping in Bloomingdale's earlier in the day.
Love it.
Wearing nothing but a T-shirt and a wig.
Oh, boy.
In Bloomingdale's?
Yes. Flip-flops, T-shirt, wig.
Panties?
Could not tell. It was a long T-shirt.
Huh. Well, that's one choice.
And the wig was, of all the wigs in the Amanda Bynes collection, I think this one may be the top seller by the weekend. Because it is just all Medusa'd out all over the place. She is officially...
Love it.
Now dressing like a homeless bag lady, so... Sad news? Yes. Do I laugh? Sadly, yes. Hey, remember Puck from the Real World?
Sure.
Puck was sort of the prototype for the obnoxious guy on reality television.
Sure.
He'd blow snot rockets around the apartment and eat peanut butter out of the jar with his hands and stuff.
Never used deodorant.
Never used deodorant. He would openly mock the gay member of the cast, Pedro, who later went on to become a big AIDS activist. He, surprise, surprise, is behind bars yet again.
Really?
Busted on domestic violence charges earlier this month. Charged with inflicting bodily injury on a woman and trying to prevent her from reporting the altercation to police. This is not the first time he has been in jail for the same crime. He was arrested for domestic violence in 2011 and spent some quality time in prison for stalking a woman last November.
Wow.
Dude.
So he's got a lot going on. Puck. Puck. Ah, this poor bastard. Rose McGowan's engaged again. For the third time. She's never been married. This is the third engagement.
Engaged for the third time.
Wonder how that shakes down. Wonder how that. Wonder what. Why no one ever pulls the trigger. She was married. Engaged to Robert Rodriguez, the director. Marilyn Manson, also. Now she is engaged to a lucky man named. He's an artist named Davey Detail.
Davey Detail.
Does he know Carlos Danger?
Do you have any joke about him?
No. Sadly, I don't. Who would think of a joke for that? Sharknado,
yes,
in its rerun, did so well that they're going to show it again on the July the 27th, by the way.
Oh, my God.
It is the Sharknado's rerun attracted 38% more viewers than the original airing did.
Probably because of all the hype,
sure,
right?
Everybody's been talking about it.
But it's so.
But then don't they tell them what it looks like?
Don't get us wrong. This movie blows.
How dare you, sir?
I mean, it's awful, but so bad it turns around to good. To me, it may not do that for everybody.
So you can catch it again on July the 27th, by the way, if you missed out. They're doing another Shark-a-thon where all their shark-themed original movies from sci-fi will be airing on one day.
So wish you could have seen my wife looking at my TiVo. I had taped all of them.
All the shark movies?
You have Shark Swamp? What's that? I said, I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. Probably a shark in a swamp.
By the way, good news. Folks over Consumer Reports have asked the Insurance Information Institute what would happen if, indeed, a tornado full of sharks were to pass over your house and drop a shark on your house?
No, they didn't.
Good news is that a falling shark says the III would likely be covered under homeowners insurance as a falling object. So you would be covered if a shark were to hit your house during a Sharknado. You'd be covered.
It's good news.
Now, I didn't see the Sharknado.
Carlos Danger. Oh, sorry.
How many sharks were in that tornado?
Oh, hundreds. Yeah. Really?
Because it starts off, they've got them all wrangled. They've got them all wrangled in the ocean.
Oh, I see. They're all together.
At the beginning of the film. And so this water spout picks them up in one swell foop, as they say.
But all you need is a chainsaw to get out of that problem, right?
That's right.
Well, you don't get that idea right away. You got to think about it
for a
while.
Comes from genius.
That's right. And lastly, Shirley Jones, legendary Shirley Jones, who, of course, was a film and Broadway actress for many years and then probably best known in pop culture circles as the mom from the Partridge Family. She has just released her autobiography. And if you're a fan of her wholesome image as Mrs. Partridge, you may not want to pick it up. She goes into surprisingly graphic detail about her sex life, apparently.
Whoa.
Really?
Including a three-way she had with her late husband, Jack Cassidy, and another woman, about the size of her late husband's genitalia.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
The size of the genitalia of her stepson, David Cassidy.
No.
Why does she know that?
I don't.
Why do you think?
I did not read the book, but...
I'd love to get a copy of that.
It is the stuff of legend. And she says now at 79, I'm just going to make Kevin throw up in his mouth a little bit.
Oh, no. No.
Her husband still finds her beautiful, so she likes to take off all her clothes and shake her breasts at him.
She knock him out?
Explain until he got those two black eyes. Now we know what's up with Marty Ingalls. Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, what a batch of just beautiful, talented, sexy women today. We're born on July the 24th. Kristen Chenoweth is 45 years old today. Jennifer Lopez turns 44 years old today. Rose Byrne is 34 years old today. Summer Glau.
Come on.
Celebrates her 32nd birthday. Anna Paquin is 31. Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, 31. Gallagher, 67. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
She's way hot.
Oh, what she does with those melons.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
AmandaPlease.com.
Hey, let's talk to Mike Walters in the newsroom at TMZ.com because this Amanda story is too crazy to wait until Monday when we generally check in with the newsroom. Hey, Mike, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to catch up with you. Before we get started, tell me if we're supposed to be enjoying this or if this is tragic and sad. I'm not sure what demeanor to take.
You know what? That's a great point. You know, yesterday when we were learning about it, you know, and when you see the images, we actually got video of her going into a liquor store right after she lit this fire.
Right.
And you first kind of want to laugh. It's like, what? I mean, she's wearing this wig, and it's like, in one of the photos, she doesn't look like she has pants on, but you quickly remember that it's probably mental health issues,
yeah.
And so you kind of quickly stop and go,
but wait
a minute.
Didn't she get arrested in the driveway? How did she go to the store?
What happened? Okay, so here's what happened. She, according to law enforcement, she shows up to a random stranger's house, lights a gas can and a cloth on fire in the driveway.
Okay.
And then leaves. Now the whole time she's got a little Pomeranian in her hands. She walks away from the fire to a liquor store that's like a couple feet away, right behind the house. Goes
okay.
in because she's trying to wash her dog off because there's gasoline has soaked the dog.
Oh my God.
To wash the dog off in the back of the liquor store, and the guy throws her out who owns the store, who's at the cash register. So she goes back out, and that's when the guy who saw the fire is on with 911 and sees her and says, you know, here she is. And so cops come, fire come, and they take her on a 5150. And I'm told that when they questioned her, they asked her, what are you doing and why is there a fire? And the answers didn't come back matching up with what, you know, any normal story, a lucid story.
But
so they took her into the hospital.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but doesn't she have to say something that means she's probably going to be hurt herself or hurt somebody else? I mean, doesn't it have to be specific to take her in on a 5150? Not just, it doesn't make sense.
Well, I would say lighting a fire puts other people at risk.
Kevin yesterday was arguing that lighting a fire isn't a big deal.
But lighting a fire in the yard is probably...
Kevin does it all the time.
No, in the yard.
Because remember, Kevin, it's danger to others, and that is the definition of danger to others.
She lit a fire in someone else's yard. Right
now, Mike,
by the way, a propane tank on an RV.
Oh, that could have been so bad.
Wow.
Tell me how, how did she bring the dog with her on the plane from New York the day before?
Yeah, well, what happens is, you know, we broke the story on the website that she was thrown out of the Ritz-Carlton in New York after staying 9 days, and it was because of the marijuana smoke. She ripped the smoke detector off the wall. It was just a mess. And she told the front desk person that they're so ugly when they checked her in. She gave them a card of her plastic surgeon and said, you need to call this.
Oh, no.
That's how bad it was. And then you're right. So what it is she flies private. She's got a fortune. She made tons of money as a young actress.
Wait a minute. She still has a fortune?
Oh, yeah. If you look at the numbers of the movies she did, she made tons of money. And so she flies private from New York to L.A. with the dog.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
That answers that question.
I believe, this is my, you know, educated guess, but I believe she just kind of wandered around L.A. for a day and a half, and then this happened. But I got to say, my newsroom, do you know what we're working on right now, buzzing around the newsroom?
No.
Where is the dog?
Where's the dog? Good question.
And we called animal control. We called all the local animal shelters. No one has the Pomeranian, man. This thing is like 3 pounds.
I forget where I read it, but I read someplace that the fire she started was in the driveway of a house that was near her parents' house.
Yeah, well, and that's the other scary
part. So maybe
it's like 4 houses away from her parents, so it almost seems like that's what she was going for, which is even scarier.
But maybe that's right. Where the dog is.
That's what I was suggesting, well, is maybe the dog is there. But you're saying
she... It's possible, but I don't think her parents are very close with her at
this
point. And so I don't know if the cops and firefighters who were there were able to go, okay. I also don't know yet whether she had the dog in her hands once she got back to the scene where they arrested her and then took her to the hospital. So I got to know where this dog is.
The dog is...
Okay. So he's finding the dog.
The dog is... almost better off on its own than with her.
Yeah, but
just
like
living feral.
Pomeranian in Thousand Oaks walking around in the brush.
No, I know, but I'm hoping somebody will pick up that dog and go ahead and make it their pet and then rescue it from her.
Well, the bottom line is this, guys. I mean, I worked on Britney Spears in 2008. This was the infancy of TMZ. We were working on that story, and what happened? This is exactly what it looked like, and then finally something really bad happened where her kids were at risk. And they took her in, and then they got a conservatorship. A bunch of lawyers came in, and her parents. And now she's worldwide tours. She's right.
Yeah, she's a model citizen.
She ever did.
But her,
right.
But
hopefully
her,
that's where this is going.
Her mom and dad were contacted and asked to pay for this. And didn't I read this on TMZ? And her dad said no. She has to pay for it.
Well, we spoke to the neighbor because we found the house. We have photographs on the website of the burn marks, and we asked the lady who owns the house, "Do you know Amanda Bynes?" And she said, "No, absolutely not." And then when we kind of pushed her further and said, "Well, are you going to get this fixed? I mean, what are you going to do?" And she said, "I want Amanda to fix it." And so, either her or her parents, because they live next door, and we called her dad, who was not in the best mood to talk to TMZ at the time, but he did say, "I'm not paying for anything. Amanda's
paying
for it."
Well, why should he? She has all that money.
Can you imagine being her parents and watching this spiral?
I can't believe she got brought in.
I can't believe they haven't changed their phone number yet if TMZ can still get to Amanda Bynes' parents. That's a surprise to me.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the other weird things here, and it's kind of scary actually, is that when she was arrested for throwing the bong out of the window in New York the last time she was in court, she was taken to the hospital. They felt the same way about her. They listened to her answers and went, "We should probably take her into the hospital and let her talk to a psychiatrist or something." So they did, and the psychiatrist in New York said, "She's lucid. Her answers are normal."
Really?
And it was like, and they let her go. That's why she was then arrested, because the 5150 is in lieu of arrest. If they think you're not all there, then they're not going to put you in jail. They're going to get you help in a hospital.
Oh,
They released her in New York thinking she was fine.
But lighting a fire, that's inexplicable.
I think that's not inexplicable
as fire is cool.
But, Mike, she'll get out tomorrow probably, right, if she plays her cards right inside.
Yes, they can only play your cards right inside.
Like, no, I mean, if she doesn't say crazy stuff, if she appears lucid to them, they'll let her go tomorrow, right?
It's a 72-hour involuntary hold that they can do, and that's the maximum. As long, they can only hold her against her will for that long. If they feel that she's still a threat, they can extend it. But, at a point, yes, they're going to have to go to her and her parents and say, "What, you guys need to take over care of her. You need to figure out if she needs to be hospitalized further. You've got to go to a place that does long-term care." So I believe that's what they're doing right now.
So, Mike, final question for me. Can we still laugh? Or is it getting sad? We need to know when it crosses the line into sad.
I'll tell you. You ready?
Yeah.
You're at work. You're at K-Rock walking around. You got to be professional. Right now, I've got a newsroom. I've got a news meeting going on. Straight face. You get home. You crack up when you get home.
Oh, I see.
When you drink beers with your friends, you laugh about it.
But our job is to laugh while TMZ is taking it seriously. So,
Laugh for me.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. You guys are doing the Lord's work there in the newsroom, following this story minute by minute. We appreciate you carving out some time to come on with us. Mike Walters from TMZ.com. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Thank you. Bill Hader on the program today, also live music in studio from the band Bastille. And don't forget, it's your last chance coming up here very soon. Any day now, we're going to run out of those K-Rock stickers at Southern California Hot Topic locations. Put it on the back of your car, mail in the back, or go to krock.com to enter to win a private performance with Linkin Park for you and 10 friends, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card. Beer Mug, you're going to be in Downey today from 1 till 3 o'clock, correct?
Yes, I am. And guess where I'm going to be? Where everything...
Food court.
Yep.
Well, please stop by the Hot Topic while you're there.
Yeah, I think that is the idea.
Giving away tickets to the 5th Annual Epicenter Postal Service Uproar Festival, Rancid, X Games VIP passes, and so much more. You can get the details at krock.com, but that's the Hot Topic in Downey at the Stonewood Center, and that is today.
Hey!
Knock, knock!
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
Yes, go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Matt Money Smith, do you need a board up?
No.
Okay.
No,
yeah. Running it by you.
I would recommend he put on one of those fancy suits at Hot Dog on a Stick and start pumping that lemonade.
That's a great idea, too, and that's a euphemism, right?
That's code.
Yeah. Hey, Matt Money Smith, speaking of Go Dodgers, many Dodger fans, tried and true faithful of the blue, had pretty much given up on this season about a month ago. What happened? How do you all of a sudden go from, wow, I guess that's it for this year, to now we're in first place and we're raging?
First off, that was a remarkable Fred Willard, a mighty wind-esque, what happened? Here's what happened. They've always had the talent. There's a reason why half the smart people in baseball pick the Dodgers to win the National League, because on paper, they're a darn good team. I mean, you have Clayton Kershaw, a perennial Cy Young candidate and Cy Young winner at the top of the rotation, and a perennial Cy Young candidate and Cy Young winner, Zach Greinke, right behind him. So when you start with that, it's pretty hard to argue that the Dodgers are a damn good team. Then you put together a lineup that includes, you know, the likes of Matt Kemp, second place, should have been first place in the MVP voting a couple.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Exactly. And Andre Ethier and Adrian Gonzalez. I mean, this team is stacked. And for one reason or another, they played, you know, they were a bit apathetic, indifferent at the start of the season. That was, you know, the famous Don
because Mattingly. The season is 1,500 games long.
Well, look, Kevin, everybody's got to play 162. You know, they're all going to go through their lulls, and the Dodgers just happen to do it for 3 months. Now, are they going to win 22 out of every 27 games for the rest of the year? No, but you know what? They did what they had to do, which is win every series when they were at their nadir, and they have not lost a series, I think, in 12 series now. They have
wow.
not lost. They are
wow.
Seven. Yeah, I mean, I think it's 7 or 8 series wins and 4 splits.
How much of it? How much of the credit do we give to Mr. Puig, who seemed to be the guy who really lit the team on fire with the enthusiasm that he played with?
He played great, and I'm sure that it had something to do with it. But you got to remember, right in step with his arrival was Hanley Ramirez's return, and he's been better than Puig. So as exciting as Puig has been, as good as he is, and as much as he meant to that team, because like you said, there was an excitement that came along with him from the fan base, from the national media. That was a big deal. But more than that, it's that Hanley Ramirez, you know, if this is a full season's resume, he is a runaway MVP. I mean, like runaway Miggy Cabrera-style MVP.
This happens to all teams and all hardcore fans because you despise watching your team lose. But how many people do you think left the stadium or turned off the TV last night when the Dodgers were behind 8-3?
Well, that's a good question. However, they did score 14 runs the game before. So,
well, true.
You know, the fact that, and it's just coming from everywhere. You know, the fact that Mark Ellis had 3 ribbies last night. I mean, the night before it was AJ Ellis with, I think, 6. I mean, that's the key with the Dodgers now, is that it's not just, oh, we need Matt Kemp, we need Andre Ethier to start hitting. Well, now you're getting it from everywhere. You know, it's one of those cliches, hitting's contagious. And you know, when it starts rolling, it just seems like everyone starts rolling. And that's certainly the case for the Dodgers, who, you know, it's a weak division, and that's why they're in the position they are, and the Angels are in their position they are. The Angels got to deal with the A's and the Rangers, two really good teams. The Dodgers had to overcome, you know, a pretty flawed San Francisco Giants team, a mediocre Rockies team, and a very young and actually different from last year Arizona Diamondbacks team. So it wasn't hard for them to do this if they could just start playing good baseball.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting, I'll tell you that. It really has kind of set the sports fans on fire this summer when, for a lot of people, there's only baseball. Now, you mentioned Matt Kemp. Let's talk about how this latest steroid scandal seems to be different right now. Ryan Braun was suspended for the rest of the season, which is going to cost him about $3 million. He's an outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers. He was the MVP last year. And this is, we're led to believe, Money, and please tell me more, the tip of the iceberg. Are there going to be a lot more guys behind Braun this time around?
Yeah, and remember, because we're talking on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, a local kid. You know, Braun's from the Valley.
Yeah.
You know, the Hebrew Hammer is from the Valley. And this is a bad deal. He's, you know, the only, and I feel bad. So, you know what? I don't. Bad guy. Just bad guy. I mean, and I think that's why this one's different and it feels different, because the players are piling up on Braun. They're pretty pissed, you know, and I think that's kind of the difference this time around. You
well, he lied to everybody. That's why. He was one of those guys who not only did it, but he was so he was so offended that people suggested that he did it. He was that guy.
Yeah, his his speech after he was exonerated on a technicality, and just quickly to give people backstory, he gets busted for juicing, and he appeals it, and they say his position to the arbitrator is, oh, the guy that handled my urine, yeah, he was supposed to drop it off at the FedEx, but it was closed, so he had to keep it overnight. Who knows what he did to that?
Oh.
And that's how he got off. So this guy who had been, you know, I mean, look, who was Dino Lorenzi Jr.? Nobody knows him, but that was his gig, and he had done it for like a decade, you know, collecting urine samples, delivering them. He followed protocol. Was it great? No. I mean, maybe there was a little hiccup in there, but his life was just flipped upside down. I mean, Braun read him the riot act in front of a national media, and guys like Aaron Rodgers are taken to Twitter to defend him, and now it comes out that he's just another juicer cheat. And that's why I think it feels different, and that's why people are so upset. And yeah, you're going to have more names. They say Alex Rodriguez, the evidence against him in this Biogenesis deal, which is the one that got Braun to take the deal. I just love the vision of like an attorney in the room, and Braun say, no, yeah, I want to fight for my integrity and my innocence. Sure. No, take the deal, Braun.
You'll be lucky.
So he took the deal, 65 games, because he's got an escalating salary. This is what really sucks about this guy, too, and why he's such a bum. He is on an escalating contract, right? So he's making like $8.5 million this year. The final 3 years of his deal, this punk's going to make $19 million a
year.
Wow. And they can't touch it.
Did you say $19 million a year?
A year.
Wow.
3 seasons. And it's killed baseball in Milwaukee. He's the only thing they had going. He is their star. Now everybody in that town is just going to fall into a bucket of Miller High Life because they're so bummed. and there's nothing that baseball can do about it. They can't void that contract. They can't punish him beyond the three. And this guy, it's a hundred. I think it was a $120 million deal he signed. They're taking $3.5 million from him after he basically just gave. I mean, it's not just a black eye. It's like one of those black eyes that's swollen and shut, and Mickey's got a cut. I mean, it's a nasty moment.
Let me ask you this, Matt, and I'm sure you saw Bill Plachke's column this morning in the Times, yeah, and he asked a good question. Why don't they void awards like Braun's MVP from last year because of this steroid use, the way they take away Heisman trophies if you do something wrong?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I don't see why they don't. And they don't have to give it to the second-place finisher, Matt Kemp. You know, they didn't do that with Vince Young when they took Reggie's Heisman away. They just vacated it. You know, what's the point?
To say we don't have a winner that year.
Yeah, and I think the problem being is if you were to go through history, you might have, well, here's 2003's MVP, 2004 vacated, 2005 vacated, yeah, 2006 vacated. I mean, that's the problem you might run into.
Do you agree with me, Matt Money Smith, that baseball needs steroids? They should not only allow them, but force all players to take them.
Well, I mean, you know, it's ridiculous as some people may think that sounds, Kevin. It's something that's actually been kind of debated, which is what exactly is wrong with what these guys are doing when you consider some of the drugs they're given to overcome injury, you know, the shots they're taking. Like, how do you determine what's legal and what's not? Why is this particular drug illegal in baseball's eyes, but this isn't? Some sports allow certain drugs, others don't. And do we know enough? You know, let's just say they legalized everything and everything was monitored by doctors on staff and you made sure that nobody abused them. And that's the big concern. You know, that's why they do it, is you don't want to see abuse and somebody, you know, with a controlled substance that ends up doing harm. And then you have kids following suit, et cetera, et cetera. But just kind of in a vacuum, if it's monitored and they know what they're doing, I mean, you have a lot of people out there that say, well, what's the big deal? What's the difference? What's the difference from a guy on a football field taking a shot to numb his leg because if he could feel it, it would probably fall off, and someone taking roids? I mean, it's interesting. I like the idea that, you know, you do with what you got, you know, and you work hard, and that's what your reward is being able to play at the highest level, as opposed to somebody taking the juice to get a little bit bigger, to hit a few more home runs, so they can get that big contract.
And you can be the next commissioner of baseball and also a pusher man, Matt Money Smith.
That's right, man. What's for you. Come to the commissioner's office, and I'll have it all on a wall behind me.
Matt is the
little eight ball. What do you want?
Matt is the co-host of the Petros and Money Radio Show, heard on Fox Sports Radio and AM 570 in Southern California, weekday afternoons. Thanks for the time, Matt. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
The hilarious Bill Hader, recently of Saturday Night Live for many, many seasons, joins us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph joins us, and it's time for the showbiz.
Hi, I'm Bill Hader.
He does talk like that.
That's Bill.
More details about the death of actor Dennis Farina this morning. It turns out that he had a recurrence of lung cancer.
Oh, no kidding.
He had apparently had lung cancer and had an operation to remove a tumor some 13 years ago.
Wow.
It was never publicized, but he was getting treatment for the recurrence recently, and that's when the blood clot in his lung presented, and that's actually what took his life. So,
wow.
More details about that. Christopher Walken has been added to the upcoming movie being made of the Broadway show Jersey Boys, the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, one of the biggest American bands of the 60s. Clint Eastwood is directing and has picked Walken to play a New Jersey-based mobster who becomes an advisor to Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons as they were getting started in the music business. Reportedly, they had a little mob help to help them negotiate the shark-infested waters of the music business. It's kind of cool because Eastwood has taken cast members of the various stage productions of Jersey Boys to play the roles rather than to cast well-known actors as the singers. So
that's great.
Yeah, four basically unknown guys are getting a chance to star in a movie, so that's pretty
super
cool.
Super talented.
Him to do. Yeah, very talented guys. So that's
did you see that show, Lisa?
Mm-hmm, and Ralph did too.
I've seen it like three times.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a great musical. And Walken will be good.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think your first hit should be Sherry Baby. You love that kind of talk. If you love Sharknado, then I'm guessing you'll probably love the upcoming horror film, Big Ass Spider.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah, you will.
That's the name of a thing?
Big Ass Spider.
I want to go to there.
As you can imagine, the movie, which is set to come out the week before Halloween, a giant spider strolls through Los Angeles. Crawling over buildings.
Love it.
Crushing cars.
Love it.
And catching people in its web.
Love it.
How big is the spider? Do we know?
It's a big-ass spider.
Is it like car size or is it plane size?
He said it crushes cars.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
It's a big-ass spider.
I'm in.
Is this sci-fi?
This is theatrical release.
In a movie?
Mother effer.
Wow.
The cast.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
Greg Grunberg. Our buddy Greg.
Love
stars in the film. Claire Kramer, Ray Wise, you remember him, of course, from Twin Peaks and
sure.
from Reaper. And actually a good buddy of mine, Lombardo Boyer, who played Chico in Joe Schmo 3.
Sure.
He is also one of the stars of the film. I'm very happy for him.
You're telling me there's a movie in theaters called Big Ass Spider.
There will be the week before Halloween.
Love it.
Big Ass Spider.
Wasn't there an old-timey, like, 50s sci-fi movie called Tarantula, Ralph? Wasn't there a giant spider movie back in the day when they were making all those movies?
There may have
been. Does that sound familiar to you?
Mm. Not to me.
Not ringing a bell. There was Kingdom of the Spiders, but that was about a ton of like regular size, like tarantula.
That was
size
the William Shatner
spiders,
movie, right?
Yeah, just descending on a town and just basically devouring them and wrapping them in webs and stuff. But I don't remember any giant. I'm sure there was a giant.
Who's going to deliver the line? That's a big ass spider. Who's doing that?
Everyone in the movie, if they're smart. How about, damn you, big-ass spider!
I can't
say that?
Wait.
That's awesome. And Kirstie Alley has tweeted that she applauds Kanye West's violence towards paparazzi.
All right.
Yeah. What kind of person would advocate violence against people who didn't share their beliefs or oppose them in any way? I can't imagine. In an unrelated story, the Church of Scientology is concerned.
You said unrelated.
Yeah, completely.
Okay.
That was just a hypothetical question.
They're concerned.
A rhetorical question. Church of Scientology concerned about actress Leah Remini leaving, and other members apparently of the church are now defecting in droves.
Uh-oh.
According to Star Magazine, the church is very concerned what might get out about the ways that they operate within the confines.
There's still stuff we haven't heard.
Well, maybe it'll be more publicized, and maybe, you know, there's always been a certain level of plausible deniability in part of the church saying, oh, these are disgruntled former members, and that's not how we do things, and they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
But if people in mosques start coming out and talking about what happens in there, I think there could be issues. Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. We'd love to have you come out and join us at 10 p.m. Friday night. And then Saturday night, there's a screening of Kevin Smith's Jay and Silent Bob super groovy cartoon movie, which I am also in. I'm going to be appearing at the screening of that at the New Beverly Theater Saturday night, along with Kevin and Jay Muse. So if you'd like to come out anytime this weekend and check us out, you can go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com, and that's where you can get links for all the details and tickets.
You should change Babylon to Big Ass Spider Cast.
That's a good idea.
You should really think about that.
Big Ass Babylon. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anna Paquin's 31 years old today, as is Madman actress Elizabeth Moss. Summer Glau is 32. Rose Byrne turns 34. Jennifer Lopez, 44 years old today. Kristen Chenoweth is 45. Laker-turned-actor Rick Fox is 44 years old today. Director Gus Van Sant is 61. Actor Michael Richards from Seinfeld.
Oh, yes, Jerry.
He's 64 years old today. And comedian Gallagher celebrates his 67th birthday. Or it may be his brother. I'm not sure.
Is he still in Oasis? Do we know?
Those are different Gallaghers.
Oh.
Put it in the file?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Live music from Bastille on the way. Very excited about that. About an hour from now.
Mm-hmm.
First, we spent this past weekend in San Diego.
Comic-Con 2013 coverage continues here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking to the new RoboCop. Bill Hader has joined us here.
I don't think he's the new RoboCop.
Bill, did I get that wrong? Am I reading the wrong paperwork?
Oh, look at that's the RoboCop look right there.
Wow, man, that was my audition tape. And they were like... No. And I was like, come on, man.
They weren't feeling it?
No one was feeling it. Like, the cameraman wasn't feeling it. My agent wasn't feeling it.
It's just a bad fit.
Yeah. I think it might have something to do with the problem in Detroit right now. I think it was my audition tape.
Now, that's a good reference. Hey, Bill,
I read the newspaper.
You're too smart for this show already.
I read the newspaper. Yeah, everyone just went, what happened in Detroit? Let's go there.
Was this the riot after the Tigers won the World Series? What are we talking about?
Oh, well, my references.
I want to see
you.
Whoa, with that in some junk. I want an animated movie that I can't see for 2 months. Do you have anything to recommend, sir?
Yes, it's called Cloud of the Chance of Meatballs 2.
What? Are you kidding? What are the chances?
Yes. And it comes out in 2 months. You can see it. It'll be good.
That's perfect.
Boom.
Exactly what I was looking for.
Boom.
That's the easiest.
You'll see some foodimals. You'll see.
What's a foodimal?
It's like half animal, half food.
Oh, right. This is like the menace of the sequel,
this is
right?
The menace. Like, so like where the first movie is kind of like a Armageddon type movie, this one is like Jurassic Park or.
You're trying to give kids nightmares.
That. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, half food, half animal. What's
terrifying than that? We want them to be afraid of like tacos. There's a taco dial. And, you know, things like that. Shrimp pansies.
Be afraid of random foods.
Yeah, just be afraid of they'll think it'll get up and, like, you know, attack them, attack their face.
Doing animated movies, best job in show business, right?
It's actually really hard because you're in a booth by yourself, and essentially all your lines, you're screaming them. That's kind just of like all your lines.
Oh, you have
like,
to over-emote a little bit like, to make it play?
Yeah, you kind of need it to be really big. And then you just say the same lines over and over and over again, and your brain just turns to mush.
You don't seem like a big guy, voice guy.
Like
they would have to really goose you.
Yeah. It's like, give me a lot of coffee and get me to really go. And so that seems to be my problem. I'm always like, we need a little more energy. And I'm like,
Tell Hader what's going on in Detroit, man. It'll destroy him. That's how you get it up there.
Yeah, that's how you get it up there. Tell Hader about,
what
some
is,
current issues.
What is going through your mind yet that in a few weeks you don't go back to school on Saturday Night Live? Like, is that sinking in yet that this is my summer and it's never going to end?
No, it hasn't sunk in yet. That's the real experience. I have a lot of friends who left the show and they always say it's really when they come back in September when it hits you.
Because you're used to being off now.
Yeah, this
but it's
is
when
normal.
September rolls around.
And then I go, okay, let's go get school clothes. And then you're like, I don't have to go back.
Do any of those friends ever regret leaving the show, or is it always that was the right time and I'm glad I stuck with it?
They have no choice.
Well, sure. Regret's not going to help at that point. They're not letting you back in, right?
They have no choice. For me, it was more just wanting to move to L.A., and then it was like, well, can I do the show and still live in L.A.? And then it was
How long did that conversation last?
Like exactly 5 seconds. Yeah.
Well, you couldn't have stayed on it any longer. You were starting to get embarrassing.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. It was getting a little like, me guess, he's going to laugh during the sketch.
Why doesn't that happen more, by the way? Just because you've heard the material so much during the week, is that the only reason you're able to get any of the lines out without cracking up?
No, most of the time if I laugh during something, Fred Armisen and I, especially during our last season, he would kind of mess around with me. And that was, you know, it was funny. And then John Mulaney, when he would write the Stefan sketches, he would mess around with me. It's more like because I get very nervous before shows. Like, I get very kind of freaked out, you know. And then, and so anything that I'm not expecting, I just
right
just sends me off the rails immediately. I just blow up.
Well, it's criminal that Stefan may not exist in our world anymore. There must be a way to keep him alive somehow.
No, that's it.
Okay.
It's done.
Before we go with Bill Hader here at Comic-Con, put in a few words for your beautiful wife in her movie because
oh,
we're
to-do list.
So excited about it.
Yeah. Are you really excited
oh,
about
my God,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It
the to-do
great.
List?
Well, A, it's rated R.
Yeah.
B, it's a comedy, not a romantic comedy.
No,
so
yep.
It's awesome for dudes and chicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, it's all about sex.
And it barely got an R rating. Yeah, so it's really raunchy. It's very raunchy. But it's very funny. It's made for like $1 million. They shot it in 20 days. And so it's really exciting that it's getting like this kind of a release and stuff. I'm
and
really
you,
happy
Mac,
with it.
On Rachel Bilson.
My wife wrote me a sex scene with Rachel Bilson. Yeah, but it was a mercy situation. It's like she's...
She threw you a bone?
Yeah, well, she's like, it's like a mercy situation. So it's kind of like
Rachel,
my, yeah. So it's kind of like my wife's like the only way someone who looks like Rachel Bilson would ever have sex with you is if she was getting back at somebody.
You poor bastard. You need to experience it once.
She's like, yeah, enjoy that. That's the only way it's going to happen. If I write it for you, that's the only way it's going
to
happen.
We have learned a lot about your sad, sad life, Bill Hader. Always great to have you on the Kevin Amin Show.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You for the time.
Thank you.
A lot of buzz on this new band from Britain called Bastille. They are in Southern California for some shows coming up next month, and they're going to be joining us in studio here on the Kevin Amin Show in about a half an hour or so and performing live for us. The record is already out. I heard it a lot on the radio when I was in England a couple weeks ago. They're big-time stars over there, Kevin.
So good.
Yeah, really good. Bastille joining us next hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, we're going to be taking your telephone calls on whether you've ever hidden anything in your body. It's been about 3 years since we've done this topic, and last time we were stunned at how many people had occasion to hide something up in them.
Yeah,
get away from their parents or get away from a teacher or a counselor or the police or something like that. Apparently, it's going on all the time, Kevin.
We always discuss this when we bring up a topic. Will anyone call? And we were shocked last time.
Yeah, because that's the one you go, nobody.
So here's the headline. You tell us if you'd read further. Woman gets 25 years for gun in vagina, meth in butt.
That's impressive.
Come on. An Oklahoma woman was sentenced to 25 years in prison after pleading no contest to meth possession with the intent to distribute, gun possession by a convicted felon, and bringing contraband into jail.
Hmm.
So while she was being booked in March for drug possession, they discovered a 5-shot revolver in her vagina and 2 plastic baggies of meth.
Damn.
And the other one.
Girl.
So.
Can those things get lost?
I don't have much firsthand knowledge of that. Muggs, can those things get lost?
Yeah,
they can. Okay, they can.
So, Lisa, let's, as we prepare to take phone calls from our listeners with similar experiences.
Sometimes I hate being the only girl.
At 1-800-520-1067. Yeah, I do want to ask about your kangaroo pouch. Now, tell me how. It's like having an extra purse, right? I mean, basically, you just look at your vagina. It's just additional storage space,
right? You
know,
when I'm out, like in the past, when I've been out on a date and I just needed some mad money, they call that, you know, in case things went wrong.
Sure.
That's where I put
right.
it.
Where you put it?
Yeah, I just stuck it there. Just like, what if you get robbed or something? You still need cash to get home, right?
Right, that's
so
true.
You just stick it there.
And they probably won't find that.
Right, exactly.
I just, I'm trying to think about what the circumstances would be. And of course, I don't have, you know, all the parts. But like, under what circumstances would I ever think I would want to hide something in my butt?
She put meth in her butt. 2 baggies.
Going into jail. That's all. That's number one. That's
but
when
look,
I
I've,
mostly do it.
And look, then, I've seen enough Orange Is the New Black to know that they make you squat and spread them. You're not going to keep something in your butt.
Well, these are the smartest people.
They did catch her. That's true.
You're in the middle of a drug deal, and you don't want them to know where it is because maybe they'll rip you off.
Oh,
so you
good.
Wait till you get the cash.
What
and you
do
go,
you think? I bring
I'll
the drugs
right
with me,
right?
That kind of thing.
See, smart. That's the other reason.
Well, this is awesome because when she was arrested, she and her friend, this is Christine Harris we're talking about, the woman in Oklahoma, she and her friend were arrested at the Dairy Lou Drive-In, which, by the way, apparently, according to this article, I'm glad they mentioned, is the home of the Hercules.
All right.
I don't know what the Hercules is, but let's order one. The other woman had a hypodermic needle in her shoe, so she was hiding something too, but not nearly as creative as our dear beloved Christine, who had the vagina filled with a gun, which, by the way, seems like a dangerous place to carry a loaded firearm. It was loaded.
Yeah, we didn't bring that part up. It was loaded.
Oh, my God.
Things go wrong there.
Wow.
You're in a lot of trouble.
That's not smart.
What did you put inside your vagina?
That's the question.
All right. So I don't know how it's going to go, but the phone lines are open. Toll free 1-800-520-1067. Ladies, if you've ever used the front or the back, gentlemen, if you've used the back, we want to hear from you what you have hidden and why. Our listeners are going to come through. I know they are.
I can honestly say I've never dealt with any of these topics, unfortunately, or fortunately. So 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this.
You want the good news or the bad news?
The good news?
Good news is plenty of calls on people hiding stuff in their bodies.
Bad news?
All dudes. Every one of them's a dude. We'll be talking about a lot of man ass here in the next few minutes. We are, if you're just joining us at the Kevin and Bean Show, we're talking about this woman in Oklahoma who was being booked into prison for drug possession, and it turned out she was hiding a weapon, an actual gun, a loaded weapon in her vagina, and a couple of bags of meth in her butt. And it got us talking about how you might have hidden things inside your body to avoid detection. And that's the topic on the table at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Steve. He's done a little jail time. He's on line one. He'll get us going here. We can find out how this works. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So you needed a storage place.
Yeah, you could say that. I did 6.5 years in prison.
Wow.
And before something was going to go down on the yard, to say like a riot or something like that, you'd have to get prepared. And for me, getting prepared was a half a can of tobacco, 2D batteries, my homemade tattoo gun, a syringe, 2 lighters, and a pack of rolling papers.
Whoa! Whoa! Hold on. Hold the phone. You did all that at once?
Well, it was 2 separate small packages, but yes.
And the reason you have to do that, you have to gather up all your contraband, is because what? After something goes down, they inspect all the cells or something, and you knew it would be discovered if it weren't hidden?
Well, that plus if you're going to go to the hole, because if you, like, incited it or you got hurt or something like that, you didn't want any of that stuff out.
I see.
Wow. So is that pretty commonplace? I mean, would you say that a lot of people walking around are hiding stuff in their butt?
I would not know that.
You said two D batteries.
Yes, sir.
Dude, let's just make up a car battery.
whatever you're running, you should buy one that runs on AAAs instead. All right, Steve. Hope you're staying clean now and out of trouble. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Sam. Sam is on line 3, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Kevin, Bean, Lisa?
Hello.
What was happening with you?
Nothing. I was at a rave. I had just picked up some pills. And of ecstasy, and a security guard was coming after me and my group of friends. I ended up putting a baggie of ecstasy pills in my keister in my butt. And,
right. But wait a minute. You were doing that while running from a cop?
No. Security guards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, the point is, how did you do it while running?
You were running and you accomplished that?
Well, I had the baggie in my hand, so I just put it between my butt cheeks and hopefully it held them in.
All right. Did it?
Well, all of them except 5.
All of them except 5.
That must have been a crazy night when those got absorbed into your sphincter.
Oh, no. They fell out of the baggie. They were in my pocket.
That's question one. Question two is, ecstasy at a rave? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Sam. Let's go to Mario. Mario's on line 4.
Yes.
He's up next on the camera. It says 6, but I think it's 4.
Hi, Mario.
Hello, Dean, Kevin, Lisa.
Hi, Mario.
Hello. I have a bad feeling about Mario.
I do, too.
What were you hiding in your butt?
Oh, well, first of all, I just woke up, and the first thing I heard was, what's up in your butt?
And you were like, hey, that's me.
Yeah, that's me. I need to call in. I needed to turn myself 96 hours in jail, and I ended up putting a chocolate bar where chocolate usually comes out of.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what ended up happening, I ended up going in there, went through the whole process. They never found it. It was deep inside. In the middle of the night, I was trying to take it out, and the whole bag disintegrated, and the
And
the goodies.
All right. Okay. We don't need descriptive words, for God's sakes.
Now, please hang up on Mario. Was he saying that he was hiding a chocolate bar because it had drugs in it? Is that what
I believe so.
Yeah, it was inedible. Okay.
And he was only going to jail for 96 hours. Now, I know that can seem like a long time, but can't you get in a lot more trouble for that?
Yes.
I would think so, too, yeah.
I know where it is. It's in your butt.
Let's try Joe. He's on line 8, and he's up next here on the Kevin Meacher. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, very disappointed in the ladies who listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. I want some I hid something in my vagina stories. Give us a call. Seriously.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Tell us your story.
Like I was mentioning earlier, I went to prison for a few years. And, you know, in prison, you gotta watch your back all the time.
Sure.
So I had a 7-inch prison shank stuffed in my sphincter.
A 7-inch prison shank?
Yeah, that sounds kind of gay, but yeah, that's what it was.
For the whole time you were in jail?
Well, just when I was in the yard, when I was in prison yard, when I used to walk around the prison yard, I had to take it with me.
But isn't there a problem? Like, if you get jumped in jail, what kind of time? Hold on, guys. I got to get something out of my butt. I mean, what kind of time do you have?
Well, you have a bunch of homeboys around you, you know, watching your back while you squat and cough.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah. I would have been so happy today to have not heard squat and cough. I don't know why that has to be part of my morning.
You're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be putting things in your butt.
That's true.
Joe, did you ever need the 7-inch knife?
Oh, thank God I never did, man, because I was looking for more time right there.
But do you ever look back and go, I spent all that time with a 7-inch prison shank up my butt and I didn't need it? Nope. All right. Thank you for the call.
Getting a couple of ladies we're hearing from on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Susie writes in that she had a friend that hid a small bottle of her urine. Her friend did hid her urine in her vagina to take into the bathroom for a drug test.
Sure.
Great idea. Glenda writes in that she hid pepper spray in her vagina. Why? Because she was going to a Raiders game, so she needed protection.
So that makes that quickly accessible.
That's my point, is how accessible are these things?
All right, let's try Sarah. Here's our first vag call here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, basically, I was going to a weenie roast 1 year and double bag 8 blunts really, really, really tight. And I put them right in the middle there and walked on in.
And no problem.
Why did you need to hide anything going to weenie roast? We don't check and we don't care.
Hey, man, I take precaution, and they do check, but not there.
They check everywhere but there?
I like she brought 8.
Yeah, she did. She brought 8. She was ready for the full day.
No
yeah,
kidding.
It's a long show, Lisa.
Come on. Awesome
you
show.
Showed up in time for the side stage, so you gotta really pace yourself.
Oh, we were there the whole day. I think
right.
That was the year where they closed it with DJ Adam.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was an awesome show.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more. How about, thank you very much, sir. Let's go to Christina. She's on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Christina. Thanks a lot for listening and for calling. What's going on?
Hi. Well, okay, so there was this night that I'd been rousted by the cops earlier that night, so I was a little bit nervous about carrying my drugs on me. So I went to a friend's house, and I said, do you have anything that I can hide my pipe in? So he gives me a cigar case. So I'm hiding my meth pipe, all my bags of drugs and everything inside this cigar case. I don't know what to do with this. So I put it up inside me. I was riding a bike.
What?
So as I was riding down the street, I got about half a block. The pain was too much. I crashed on the bike, and the cigar case went shooting out my vagina, down my pant leg, and all the way down the street.
Good morning.
Hey, everybody, eating breakfast. Enjoy.
Band is called Bastille. They join us in studio right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Now, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about going to see a little movie I like to call Two Guns?
Yay!
Right here, baby.
Those are not two guns.
They're not two guns. Welcome to the Gun Show. Stars Mark Wahlberg, Denzel Washington, Bill Paxton, Edward James Olmos, and many, many more. Story of a DEA agent and an undercover naval intelligence officer who are tasked with investigating one another until they find they've been set up by the mob. And I'm guessing then the mob gets its ass kicked.
I would guess that's true as well.
Two guns. Right here, baby. Right here.
It's not what they have guns. Actually, they have guns.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie looks awesome. If you'd like to go, I've got pairs of passes to the K-Rock screening on Tuesday, July the 30th at the Arclight Sherman Oaks Movies in theaters on Friday, August the 2nd, but you'll have seen it already by the time your friends go. They'll say, hey, you want to go check out Two Guns tonight? It's opening night. Opening night? That's when you go to movies? I went to my own screening. Whatever, with you. I'll meet you at the bar afterwards.
You can lie and just say it was just for you.
Yeah,
alone.
Just, they don't have to tell the truth.
Right.
It's Hollywood, man. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through at that very same number get a pair of passes for our very special K-Rock screening of Dos Gunos.
It's just Two Guns.
Is they're going to call it down south of the border?
Probably not.
Why?
Because Gunos.
Because Gunos is not
Spanish
really
a word. For gun?
That's something the King of Mexico would say.
Hey, King of Mexico, what's Spanish for gun?
King? Guate.
What that? What's that?
Guate.
Guate. There you go. How about that? What are the odds of him knowing anything in Spanish?
None.
I don't know anything about
I
it, but
I think he made it up.
I'm guessing that's not correct, somehow.
Could be pistoles.
I don't know.
Oh, pistole.
That'd be cool.
That's what we say in the streets.
You don't say anything in the streets.
I think pistole is right, Lisa.
Dos pistoles.
Pistolero is a gunman.
That
so,
could be it.
So I think Lisa may know more Spanish than Dave the King of Mexico.
That's not a surprise.
Dos pistoles en vagina.
Oh,
to tie it all together.
Vagina. Speaking of tickets, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing our patented brand of comedy with the Hollywood Babylon Show at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose. We sold out at the Comic-Con, by the way, but thanks to everyone who was down there, who are listeners, met a lot of them, who sold us out down of our San Diego Comic-Con show at the House of Blues. Really appreciate that. So this Friday, 10 p.m., come back and do it again. And then Saturday, it's Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie, and I play the voice of one of the main villains of that cartoon animated superhero movie.
Fantastic.
I don't know if I can say his name.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. I'm a giant phallus.
Okay.
That is my
right?
Just
like in real life.
My hero, or my villain, rather. And it would be Richard.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If his last name was Head, it'd be Richard
okay,
Head.
Okay, all right.
What his friends would call him.
It's what everyone calls you in normal life.
That's right. That would be my character.
Dave has just given me a message that Lisa is correct. Pistola is correct. Not what he said.
What a surprise. That's what we say on the street.
JK.
JK, indeed. Ah, it's a reunion of sorts for John Travolta and Kirstie Alley. They're reuniting for an upcoming episode of her TV Land sitcom, Kirstie.
Has anyone seen an episode of that?
I don't know. No. Is it even on the air yet?
I
got no idea. He apparently will play a stagehand who has a one-night stand with her. She plays a Broadway star and then won't leave her alone. He gets obsessed with her.
With Kirstie Alley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Science fiction film.
Yeah.
Kirstie, by the way, has applauded Kanye West's attitude of violence towards paparazzi. She says she supports it 100%. Well, that's a good way to resolve your problems.
It is good.
I'm so torn on this whole paparazzi thing, because on the one hand, it's legal what they're doing, and you can't just beat somebody up. But on the other hand, no one deserves it more than those paparazzi.
Oh, I think like child molesters do, and many other
they're
people.
They're just harder to pick out, though.
Other than people. That's true, Lisa. They don't identify themselves as readily. I think those are just guys with cameras.
You know what I'm saying, though? I hate them and want to see them beat up, but I know that that's not how a civilized society works.
Why do you want to see them beat up?
Because he hates them.
Because have you seen somebody try to walk out of his or her house and get in his or her car and drive to his or her job and the impedance that is put in front of them?
Yes.
It's insane that that's allowed.
Yeah, it's certainly an inconvenience. I don't see they think they should be beat up over
They're
it.
Bad people.
I will tell you, I was on the other side of this when I was at Jimmy Kimmel's wedding, mm-hmm. and they were having it outside, and there were helicopters going around trying to get pictures. They had sold the photos to People Magazine or something for charity. And there were helicopters, you know, going around, and you almost couldn't hear what was going on.
Oh, that really ruins it.
It was so loud.
It's super frustrating and annoying. And I
wish Bean was there to beat him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, don't misunderstand, Rob. I'm not saying they should be beaten up. I'm saying I understand the feeling of wanting to beat them up because I do think they're bad people. You know, those people who crowd around a car so that it can't pull out of a parking space and then sue you because you run over their foot? I got no time for those people.
Well, sorry you have to put up with that, Bean.
Good thing you'll never be famous.
Must be hard. Snooki, she's got some problems.
She's still alive?
Oh, yeah. She's still filming her spinoff, Snooki and J-Well series. Well, She wants to. Here's the problem. The locals in Pelican Island, New Jersey, right outside of Seaside Heights, they have told MTV that their cameras are no longer welcome there in that city where they film her show.
Is that right?
Yeah. They said, look, here's the situation. We're really busy right now.
The situation is there?
We're really busy right now rebuilding after Hurricane Sandy.
Mm. Oh, well, I can see that.
We've got real problems.
Yeah.
And basically, the city council president said, we don't have time for your nonsense. We don't really need another distraction right now.
I can see that.
I can, too.
Literally just trying to rebuild.
I can, too. I think they should beat Snooki up, actually. That's what they should do.
Bean should beat
Snooki up.
Because
she's a bad person. She should be beat up. She tweeted, however, that I won't be a distraction. I just have a family like everyone else that wants to enjoy the shore. And bring along a giant crew of camera
people. Does everyone else have a camera crew?
I don't believe they do. So we'll have to wait and see the results of that or not, whether she gets to shoot her show. But I don't think anyone really would miss it if that were to go away.
I think we're okay.
I think we're fine. Rose McGowan, engaged for the third time. She tells Us Weekly magazine, the lucky guy is an artist named Davey Detail. I think he did my car once.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's good work. She was also engaged twice before to Marilyn Manson and to director Robert Rodriguez. But for some reason, they never wanted to actually go through and marry her. I can't imagine why.
That's weird.
She's charming. And Gabrielle Reese knows what it takes to make a man happy.
She does.
Yeah, she, of course, is a volleyball champ, model, married to Laird Hamilton, legendary surfer. She wrote a new book of wisdom she's discovered in her life in a book called My Foot is Too Big for the Glass Slipper, A Guide to a Less Than Perfect Life, because she is a big girl. But she says, here's how to make your man happy, ladies. Listen up, Lisa.
Okay,
listen
what?
Up.
Listen,
what?
Lisa.
She says she makes sure that she gives up the goods to her surfer husband, Laird Hamilton, at least every 48 hours.
Wow.
Whether he wants them or not.
I bet he wants them. Man's language is food and sex, she said. So if you give it to him every 48 hours at least, you'll have a happy husband. She also says, ladies, break out the lingerie. Don't worry about the size of your butt or any cellulite or jiggle, because guys don't care about that. They just want to see you smiling and ready. So
easy for Gabrielle Reese with her volleyball body to say that, by the way.
I find that to be true. Most guys, women care much more about what they think they look like naked than guys do.
Oh, I agree.
But guys, really, we're not breaking it down. We don't have the laser pointer out. It's the furthest thing from my mind, really. We're very happy that you're naked in there, and we're very appreciative.
A guy's mind goes, sex is about to happen.
Yeah. This is all awesome. Everything about this is awesome.
It doesn't go, hey, what's wrong with the legs?
Oh, my God, look at her cankles.
That's never crossing.
Get naked, you strange whore!
Today's celebrity birthdays, Anna Paquin, 31 years old. Today, Elizabeth Moss, also 31. Summer Glau celebrates her 32nd birthday. Rose Byrne is 34 years old. Basketball player turned actor Rick Fox from your Los Angeles Lakers is 44 years old today, as is Jennifer Lopez. Actress-singer Kristen Chenoweth is 45. Director Gus Van Sant is 61. Michael Richards of Seinfeld fame is 64. And Gallagher celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Did we check paperwork? Are these guys legal? Is it cool that they're in here, Kevin? Do we know?
We did not check, and yes, it's cool.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Bastille here at K-Rock this morning. In our studio right now, Dan and Kyle from the band. Welcome to K-Rock, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Have you, how many times have you guys been to America since Bastille's been up and running as a band?
We came earlier in the year and played at South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, we've made some music videos here, but these are our first like headline shows.
So nice.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Texas, coming from England and then finding yourself plopped out of the middle of Austin, Texas? What was that like for you?
Well, we
dusty.
Only... Yeah, it was dusty.
Dusty, okay. That's all of Texas.
And a lot of pulled pork.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I think you probably see a slightly restricted view of Texas if you just see Austin like we did.
So, of course.
We'd like to go back and explore.
And also, we got quite a warped view because it was like full festival open season. So, like, you know, and I was like, wow, Austin's that's pretty cool. Like,
really happening.
Loads of musicians here.
There's so many bands everywhere. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, it's not like that all the time, unfortunately.
Does it seem kind of like for you guys, because you haven't been a band terribly long, right?
About 3 years.
3 years.
Okay, well, you paid some dues then. But so many big things are happening for you right now. I mean, you probably didn't expect the level of success that you've had out of the gate with your first record. You were telling us right before the song ended there, Dan, that you guys played the Glastonbury Festival. I mean, that's not the type of thing you anticipate doing pretty much as a new band first album, right?
No, not at all. I mean, also, it doesn't help that we're, like, led by me, massively pessimistic and negative about everything.
Are you pessimistic and negative? Really?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does it drive you crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. He drags us down, man.
Does he?
Yeah.
You might need to cut him loose. Although you write a lot of the songs, don't you, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Dan's right. In every interview, he said he always manages to work in. But when I'm working at McDonald's in a year,
right.
Like, why are you convinced that this whole thing is going to crash around you?
I don't know. Probably because it is.
It's just the way you were brought up, the way you learned to look at life?
Maybe. I like to think I'm not that much of a drag to be around. But
it's quite nice, though, because then, so far we've been just constantly surprised and happy.
So low expectations equals...
No dreams.
Right, and then if you just moderately make it, you go, wow, this is great.
Well, like Glastonbury, I was like, I didn't think we'd ever get booked, so I bought my ticket. Because I wanted to go.
You bought a
friends.
Ticket to go to the festival?
Yeah. Okay. I was convinced we weren't going to get booked. So I bought a ticket. And then, you know, we were pleasantly surprised. I got a refund and everything. We
wow.
Got to play.
Did you?
Got a refund.
No way.
How did you go about getting your first record on the radio? Tell me what that was like back home.
At home.
You made a record. Did you get signed to a label right up?
Yeah. So we when we started, we released with a little London label, a 7-inch label called Young and Lost. Released a few things with them, and then we signed with Virgin Records. And we just spent most of 2011 just touring and making the album, basically. So it was quite nice to have a year to sort of piece together the album in our friend's studio. And we just kept releasing EPs and singles, and each one sort of grew and grew and grew.
Now, when you say touring and making the album, do you do both at the same time, or do you just tour and then come back and work on
the album? Like a week in the studio.
Because some people will write on the road. You know, whatever. Maybe that's their thing. And during sound check, they come up with ideas.
We do sometimes just see Dan sneaking off and, like, singing sort of maniacally into his phone.
Are you sure there's not someone on the other end?
Yeah. Because why do you assume I'm recording it? That's me calling my mum.
Right. Now, Dan, are you also convinced every time you write a song that that's it, the well is dry, you'll never write another one?
Yes. Yes, I am, a little bit. Which is... can be quite frustrating. They come in little bursts. So I'll be slightly panicking. I'm broken, and then suddenly.
I read an interview about you writing songs and how you don't write anything autobiographical. That's weird.
Is it?
Yeah, because
yes.
Almost everybody that writes songs, you have to say write what you know, and most of the time it's at least incorporates part of.
I'm sure it does. I think my point was that I'm not looking to write stuff explicitly about my life, because I just don't think it's very interesting. So everything is filtered through my brain, and I'm sure informed by stuff that I've done and, you know, experiences that I've had and things I think. But I'd rather position the song as like a slightly more interesting story about something else.
Like Laura Palmer.
Yeah, like Laura Palmer.
That's a strange inspiration. A TV show that was on in the
before I was
1990s.
Yeah,
Twin Peaks.
I watched it on DVD and slightly fell in love with anything to do with David Lynch.
Yeah,
and was writing a song, and the song was sort of about running away from your problems. And I was watching loads of Twin Peaks, and so I don't know, the two sort of fused together.
Have you heard David Lynch's new album?
Yes, we did a remix of one of his songs.
No,
yeah. I know.
How do you remix that?
Literally, my like that's like the ultimate. I could pretty much die now and be happy. My whole world sort of shrunk and black hole together
also,
and exploded.
Also, let's tell the people what you did.
Because we did this remix and they liked it. I don't think we're allowed to announce it yet, so this is probably
go
a
ahead
bad
announce
idea.
It.
Oh, no, as in, I'm not allowed to announce that we've done a remix.
Oh, I see. Well, too late for that.
Whoops.
We only have a 4-second delay. You're stuck. All right, so you remixed the David Lynch song. Does it make sense now?
Yeah, we tried to imagine when we did it, because the production's so important in his album, and I think it's all that sort of like 50s, like skewed vibe. And so we tried to imagine it was completely different, and it was like 2001: A Space Odyssey, and like it was David Lynch as Hal talking, and we're sort of floating through space. So it's quite different. But basically, it all led to me being able to go and meet him yesterday.
Really,
yeah.
To meet David Lynch yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow. Now,
which was like, I everyone's like, never meet your idols. I was a bit nervous, but he's like the nicest man I've ever met.
That would be a thrill for me too, because I really admire a lot of the stuff he's done, and he's a visionary and he does his own thing. But this album is just crap, right?
I mean, it's nonsense, right?
I mean, I think with David Lynch, you just have to bring whatever you expect to the experience, and people will enjoy different. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
You are. Here's a little bit of the new album from David Lynch. So that happened.
I think it's brilliant.
Did you remix that one?
No.
Oh.
I think I'm with Dan, by the way, that not everything is going to hit you full on that David Lynch does.
Right.
But in general, I'm interested in anything he does, whether it's art or his photography or his writing or his movies or his videos. There's something that I can take away and enjoy about every single piece of that. I just am fascinated with him as well.
Remember,
I
completely agree. Paulie wore a red shirt.
That was an amazing song. Did you see the video?
I did see the video.
It was incredible.
It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's why he's amazing, because, you know, it was from his films to his music, not everyone's going to love it, but
right.
that's why it's challenging and interesting, and I think, you know, it may not be the album you want to kick back to and, you know, have a barbecue with. But,
yeah, it's not barbecue music necessarily.
Barbecue with.
We are talking to the band.
Having a barbecue.
We are talking to the band Bastille here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dan and Kyle are in studio. We're going to be hearing some live music from the guys in just a few minutes. So, Dan, you're writing these songs on your laptop, basically, at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you go about putting the band together? Where do you find your mates?
I don't know. I'd done a bunch of songs, and then and I'd always sort of wanted it to be a band. And I knew Woody and Will quite well, because we'd been playing together, been doing music together before. And Kyle was a sort of friend who I kept stopping. Throughout the summer of 2010, we kept bumping into each other at parties, and I kept being like, I was pretty much asking anyone I met who could play an instrument to join the band.
Are you lucky that they turned out to be good?
Yeah. No, I mean, Kyle was amazing, and he was just the one that I pursued the most, I think. You know, I'm sure every morning after a party he'd wake up and be like, I'm sure someone was bugging me about a band or something.
Kyle, did you see Dan coming and just hightail it the other way?
No, I don't, and run? It was sort of like, because you know, when you're both in that moment at a house party, and you're like, yeah, no, totally, man. I'll definitely be in your band. It'll be wicked. And then we'll do all these things and it'll be great. And then the next morning, you're like, wow, that's just ridiculous. And then after the 10th time, I woke up and to like a text message. And Dan was like, no, I'm being serious now. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, go on.
It took 10 times before he would text you to say serious.
And let me ask you one more thing before we let you get in the other room. And again, the Bastille, by the way, has a 4-song EP out now, available on iTunes. You can also wait for the long play, which is going to be the first weekend of September, is when Bad Blood, the album from Bastille, is going to be released here in America. You consciously do not have much guitar in your band or on your record, right? Why is that?
Dan can't play guitar, therefore no one's allowed to.
Because I've heard, and I'm no expert, you're the musicians here, I have heard that a guitar is a useful instrument in a band.
Yeah. We've heard that too. And the sort of, ironically, banging on so much about the fact that we don't have any guitars. When we do acoustic sessions like the one we're about to do, we have a guitar. So it's quite embarrassing talking about it so much and then rocking up at radio stations.
But like on the record, there's no electric guitar.
There's only bass guitar on the record. There's literally no acoustic or electric.
What about all the vocals? What about all the harmonies? Do you do that? I guess we'll find out in a minute.
We try. I mean, it's quite hard to replicate a sort of like
gang vocal or choir.
Yeah,
room.
But we do our best. We do our best.
It seems difficult. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Okay. I mean, don't expect a 4-piece choir.
All right.
And now I'm nervous. Yeah.
No pressure at all there, guys.
Don't be.
We're happy to have you guys here. We're excited for your success. We love, love, love the record. It is called Bastille. The record is going to be called Bad Blood, again, coming out in about a month or so. And you guys are going to do kind of a stripped-down version of 2 songs from the record, right? We're going to hear Pompeii, which we've been playing here on K-Rock, and then you've picked out another one for us too, right?
We have, yeah. We're going to play Bad Blood, which is the sort of title track from the album.
Fantastic. Bastille is here. We'll take a break. And right after this, the guys will play live on the world famous K-Rock.
K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. Bastille is here. They're in the next studio, and they are going to perform live for us. Which song are you going to do first, guys?
We're going to do Pompeii.
Pompeii, the one that we're playing here on K-Rock.
Thanks for playing it.
Of course.
I was left to my own devices. Many days fell away with nothing to show. And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love.
Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? We were caught up and lost in all of our vices. In your pose as the dust settled around us, and the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this if you close your eyes? Where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? Oh, where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this if you close your eyes? Does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounded, Dan, you probably thought that was going to suck, but that was really good.
Oh, thanks, man.
Can I ask you a question about the lyrics?
Yes, you can.
What? I listened to this song, I don't know, 10 times yesterday, trying to figure out how am I going to be an optimist about this. What are those lyrics?
It's how am I going to be an optimist.
You're not singing
this.
That, though. You know that, right?
How am I going to be?
How am I going to be? Okay, I got it. All right.
The band is called Bastille. By the way, they're going to be making their United States television debut on the Conan show. That's going to be tonight on TBS. If you want to see the guys playing live on your TV, they're also playing at the El Rey Theater on September the 18th. How was the Troubadour last night, you guys?
Yeah, it was good, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
That's a crazy small place, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was wicked. I mean, it felt very, like, deserving. You know, we're starting from scratch.
Right.
States, but
sure.
It was nice. You know, people came.
But
people seem to clap and stuff.
But you're going
to
be touring with Muse, right?
We did earlier.
Oh, you already
year.
Did.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. It was.
That must have been frightening.
It was pretty weird playing in stadiums.
I bet it was.
And the lineup was, it was us and then a guy called Dizzy Rascal, who's a grime rapper from the UK, and then Muse. So it was a pretty eclectic lineup. But you know, it was amazing. And they're Woody's favorite band in the world.
Oh, pretty strong.
Oh, how about that?
And local Devon guys. And so yeah, it was a. Yeah, it was nuts. We never expected to do anything like that. So it was really cool.
Well, a lot of things are happening for you that you didn't expect. The album Bad Blood is going to be released in America the first week of September. The guys from Bastille are here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and you're going to do the title track for us next. Is that right?
Yeah. This song's called Bad Blood.
Love it. Thanks.
Days that bind you to together forever, and these little things define you forever, forever. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? It's been cold for years, won't you let it lie? Oh, 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 oh. If we only ever looking back, we will drive ourselves insane. As the friendship goes, resentment grows, we will walk our different ways. Those are the days that bind us together forever, and those little things define us forever, forever. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? I don't want to hear about the bad blood anymore. Oh, 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 oh. I don't want to hear you talk about it anymore. Oh, 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 oh. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? It's been cold.
Fantastic.
That's great stuff. Again, the band is called Bastille. You should pick up their record. It's available on four songs called Haunt on an EP, available on iTunes right now, also out on CD. Bad Blood, the full length, will be out in September. So glad we had a chance to meet you guys. Thanks so much for coming in and performing. It really sounded great.
Oh, thanks, guys. Cheers for having us.
Thank you.
Look, this board, they just start on their own whenever they want. So
Daddy's,
I think
Daddy's been drinking again.
I think they hear my voice and they go, nope, this is BS. Let's play a commercial.
We're going to tell you about some awesome new animation coming to the Fox Network. We'll talk to the head of the animation Domination High Def coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show on KROQ. It's very exciting times if you like the cartoons. You know they skeeve me out, but I know a lot of people like
them. You're crazy.
First, though, hey, how about this? It's a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
We watch everything so you don't have to. Then we put it all together in one handy location for you at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. All the best viral videos of the week. You know, our friend Larry King still does. He's not on CNN anymore, but he still does a daily or three times a week talk show on the internet.
He is the hunchback now. Have you seen him
lately?
Yeah,
he's just bending over into a big C.
Yeah, he's a sea human.
He's close to 80, but I still love Larry, and he still gets terrific guests for this show. And recently he had Snoop Dogg on, or as he's now known, Snoop Lion. And for some reason, he asked Snoop to teach him how to rap. So Snoop asked Larry, well, what kinds of things are you into? He made some notes, and then they put a rap together. And here's a little bit of Larry King, 79-year-old Larry King, rapping with Snoop Lion.
I like the Dodgers, and I like reading. But the most important thing I like is eating. Dinner for two or dinner for six, it really don't matter. I get my kicks. Jiffy peanut butter is what I love. I prefer it all others above. I'm with the Lion, and he loves to sing. How about a little ring-a-ding-ding?
Oh, yeah. Mazel tov. Mr. King, let your voice and your legacy continue to ring.
So funny, because I was thinking while Larry was rapping, what a terrible bed that is to rap over. And then Snoop does it perfectly.
Yeah, he sounds great.
Then it sounds good.
He's almost as good as me.
That
almost.
That whole interview, by the way, is worth checking out. It's about 10 minutes long. And at one point, Snoop has to hand his joint off to one of his people because Larry is choking to death on all the pot smoke coming across the desk.
Larry could use a little of that.
Now, Kevin, you're going to be forced to admit with this next clip that Taylor Swift wrote a good song. And I know you dislike her, but you're wrong because We Are Never, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together Again was one of her big number one hits. And it is redone this time in the Kevin Beat Internet Roundup by Jimmy Eat World. And they've managed to take a song. Now, the way she performed it was...
She's a whiny little bitch.
No, she performed it from the perspective of somebody who was happy that she was now single, that she was broken up with this bad person. Jimmy Eat World puts angst into it, man. You weep when you see their version. There's pain going on. Listen to this.
We are never, ever, ever getting back together. You go talk to your friends. Talk. My friends talk to me. We are never, ever, ever, ever.
They do turn it into a Jimmy Eat World song, don't they?
Well, they give it some balls.
Yeah.
Very impressive. One of the, speaking of songs, one of the big smash hits of the summer is that Robin Thicke song, Blurred Lines. You guys know this one, right?
Sure.
Well, the people who make President Obama, quote unquote, sing everything by editing pieces of his speeches together to form song lyrics have done that with Bill Clinton. So here's Bill Clinton, a little bit of his version of Blurred Lines.
And that's why I'm going to make it good, girl. I know you want it. I know you want it. I know you want it. You're a good girl. Can't get past me. You're far from plastic. Talk about getting plastic. I hate these blurred lines.
The weird thing is you can't even tell it's edited.
Oh, wait. Right. Yes, you can. So smooth. Can you imagine going through all the Bill Clinton speeches? And they go all the way back to the 90s to find some of these words that they need for this song. Like, who has that kind of time?
I don't know.
In the who has that kind of time department, what about these guys? They take clips from movies, words, individual words out of individual movies. They went to 280 different films to put together this clip of the movies singing Ice Ice Baby.
All right. Collaborating.
Nice. Back.
My brand new invention.
Something.
Grabs a hold of me.
Tightly.
Whoa.
Like a harpoon.
Daily.
Nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo.
I don't know.
Turn off the lights.
And I'll glow.
To the extreme.
I rock a mic
like a vandal.
Light up a stage.
Wax a chump like a candle.
You can't even follow that.
Mm-mm. What's the point of that?
However much time that took was not worth it.
This is an all-musical edition of the Kevin Amina Internet Roundup here on the world-famous K-Rock. This is the new Rebecca Black. Her name is Tay Allen. She has a bunch of songs up, but the most recent one that people are cringing over is her song called Mass Text. Listen to how bad she is.
The party invite's made, and you just pretend. Wanna get your mass text? Wanna get your mass text? I'm confused because I got left out again. Wanna get your mass text? Wanna get your mass text?
First of all, crappy song. Second of all, why didn't I get your mass text? There's nothing worse than mass text.
Right.
I didn't even understand what that said. It's horrible.
She's saying, why didn't I get your mass text?
Mass text.
I guess.
Yeah, I think people are hate watching that one, to tell you the truth. Yeah. Here's a, you know how weathermen like to be, you know, they like to put some personality into their reports. He's in Idaho, I believe, and he decided that he's going to rap the weather. Check him out.
Right about now, I know what you're saying. He's not bad at rapping for a Caucasian. And she's a big deal. Her name should be... This is Danielle Burgundy, and forecasting is what I do best. Storms ask me what they're going to do next. If I predict it, you know it's going to happen later. Yeah, you can call him Father Nature. And my flow's sick. Wait, even better? This flow is under the weather.
I'd watch the news if all weathermen were forced to do that.
By the way, we're doing a brand new internet roundup here on the Kevin and Bean Show. There's one we don't have audio for that you really do have to see with your own eyes to believe. And this is a guy who's on the hood of a car. What's he on? Like a Mercedes or something like that, right, Kevin?
Yeah, sitting outside on the hood while the car drives down the street.
Oh, man.
Not just the street, a freeway.
Yes.
He's going like 75 miles an hour, and this guy is laying on the windshield of a car just texting, just spending the afternoon outside the car.
He's not laying face toward the driver. He's just facing forward.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's incredible. And somebody came up alongside him and shot that.
I don't think this is safe.
It may not.
That would be my warning for you.
And finally, we'll only have time to play a short piece of this, but this is a 10-minute video clip that somebody had put together that is well worth watching. It's a collection of all of the live news video bombs that they could find on YouTube.
Oh, it's so
great. In other words, this is the guy who's standing out in the street in front of a crime scene, and some jackass from the neighborhood, usually Kevin, jumps up and down behind him or waves a flag or comes up and licks the reporter's face. I mean, they just do – they come up behind him and hump him. It's just – it's clip after clip after clip of somebody just interfering with somebody trying to do the news, and it couldn't be any funnier.
So a lot of big –
who they talking about? Come here, mama, get some sugar. I love you, baby. I love you, Jack.
Now, again, he's not in the newsroom. Report. She's reporting right on something else. He just walks in and decides that he wants to tell her that he loves her.
Yeah!
Oh, wow, Kathy.
Okay, back to you.
Still
Police
fun to
have
watch.
Just stopped because of your reporting. Thank you so much for ruining the fun. Total, complete killjoy.
All right,
something that's gone on for a decade and you've ruined
okay,
it.
Okay. Wow.
The BIA remains under round-the-clock protection at an undisclosed that. Take a walk, asshole. 2-1 mark. Take a walk, jackass. Just let me know if he's coming from behind me, all right?
Some people handle it better than others.
Yeah.
There's a couple in there, by the way, where the person on the street, the reporter, just pushes the guy right out of the screen, just shoves him in the face. I mean, it really gets ugly sometimes.
Dude, I saw – this will make you laugh. I saw a parachute not open at the grand opening of a spa or something or a workout gym or something. And I was jumping up and down behind the camera when I was a kid.
Oh, Kevin.
I was a kid.
That's kind of a somber moment. Come
on. Oh, my God. The guy died.
I'm the jackass Bean was referring to.
Best news video bobs ever. That's part of this week's brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
I feel bad. Lisa's feeling pain with the pump. She should get that checked out. You shouldn't really be
cousins
feeling
and
that.
A ghost.
Well, no, it never should.
Should never happen.
Yeah,
no.
You're
right.
Gynecologist can check that out. Fix it up for you. Amanda Bynes,
guilty.
She hasn't been charged with anything, at least not yet. Currently under a 72-hour, 5150 psychiatric hold for a mental evaluation, because you know what she does with the whole setting fire in your driveway. Kevin can't understand why she's a threat to anyone. But
I can't.
She set fire to someone's house.
No, she didn't. It was a driveway. That's a house.
She took a can of gasoline, stuffed a rag in it, put it on someone's driveway, and lit it.
I thought she just had a fire going and she was standing there getting warm or whatever.
She took a can of gasoline, stuck a freaking cloth in it, and lit it on fire.
Fire is not dangerous in and of itself.
It is.
It's unsafe use.
You know what it does? It burns things down. Just because you're a pyromaniac doesn't mean other fire bugs should be left off the hook.
I love fire.
All right, Beavis. How can you not see that she's dangerous?
Well, I think she's a danger.
She's setting fires around people's homes that she doesn't know.
I think she's a danger to herself, for sure.
What about the woman who lived in the house that she set a fire in front of?
It's probably like 20 feet from the house.
Until the can of gasoline explodes.
Well, there's that, but it didn't. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Kevin, if this had been your driveway, if the fire had been in your driveway, would you consider that a danger to your house?
It's no big deal. It's just fire. Fire's fun. It's good fun for everybody in the party bus.
Wait, would I consider it a danger to my house?
Yeah.
No.
Because you're absolutely sure that fire's going to stay just where it is. Because you know what the one thing about fire, they say, never spreads. That's the weird thing about fire. It always stays in one location.
I'm an expert with fire.
Right?
I love fire.
Anyway.
Back to you.
Amanda's biggest problem may have been that her little dog actually got doused with gasoline while she was setting the fire.
Oh, that's not cool.
That's where I get outraged.
I know.
Of course.
He doesn't care about the people.
No, if there's a human being that dies, it's hip, hip, hooray, play wacky video game sounds. But if a dog gets doused with gasoline, call out the National Guard.
Absolutely.
So... there's surveillance footage of her carrying her gasoline-soaked dog into a local liquor store nearby, and she rushes past the clerk into the back room there trying to find a sink or something so she can rinse her dog off with.
Right.
It's hilarious. Hilarious
that doesn't sound
video.
Funny.
It's freaking hilarious.
All right.
So go to TMZ.com and find that for yourself.
Why can't she wear pants anymore? What's that about, Ralph?
Well, she is she's a never pant.
Okay.
It's her religious belief.
Said she was just wearing a shirt?
Yeah, she was wearing just a T-shirt. And all the footage I've seen, including footage earlier in the day of Bloomingdale's when she was shopping in Santa Monica. Flip-flops, a T-shirt, and a wacky wig.
Yeah.
Okay.
She may have been wearing short shorts underneath, but I couldn't see anything but a bare leg coming out from under her.
She's gone bye-bye T-shirt. Yeah.
How funny it would have been if she had brought the flaming dog into the liquor store. Just, can I get a bottle of water? Just holding just a flaming
dog. That
would
not be funny.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, come on, it's a dog.
I know,
but... But it's a dog. It's
lots of dogs.
No.
Trust me.
No.
Come on, I get mocked because I like fire, but you're fine with a dog getting...
Go down to the pound. There's lots of dogs. There's always another dog.
A cat I'm good with. That could be on fire.
I'm not comfortable with any of this.
I like fire. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, we all do.
I do, too.
Boy, she's just adorable.
She seems the best.
Do yourself a favor. Check out the video online. You can see it on YouTube. But her running into Jeff Bridges at Comic-Con and just freaking out.
Really?
She's such a super fan that she runs up to him, interrupts the interview he's doing, and just starts, like, shaking in front of him, talking about how wonderful she thinks
he
is.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. It's adorable. Sad news for the rest of us, however. It looks like she's gotten back together with her longtime boyfriend, Nicholas Hoult. The two X-Men co-stars were apparently... all over each other down there at Comic-Con, and it looks like they're back on. The switch is back on in that relationship. So.
That guy. What would he need him for?
They were on the set of the new X-Men sequel together again, and apparently that's when one thing led to another, and they've patched up their differences, and it looks like it's magic time. Lucky man.
Deal.
Lucky man. She's got it all. You know, she doesn't have her Oscar at her house because she said she felt weird about it, so she gave it to her parents to keep at their house because she didn't like having it around. Yeah, it made her uncomfortable.
That's how down-to-earth that chick is.
I'd wear it around my neck.
She's good stuff. I'd get my, I'd get a Prince Albert, and I would dangle it from a chain from my Prince Albert. That's where I'd put my Oscar. Or if I ever won two, I would just get my nipples pierced, and I would just hang them off my nipples.
That all sounds painful.
Oh, it sounds fun to me. Come see me and Kevin Smith. Hollywood Babylon, it's happening Saturday night at 10 p.m. at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose.
No.
Go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com for details and tickets. And also see the new animated movie that we did together. Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie Saturday night at the New Beverly.
No!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I hate Dave the King of Mexico because he left this name off the list. I haven't been talking about it all morning long and it pains me.
We just now discovered it four hours into the show.
Because she's a huge crush of mine for many, many years. Linda Carter, TV's Wonder Woman, celebrates her birthday today. 62 years old today.
What are you shaking your head at?
That's all right.
Have you ever seen her in the Wonder Woman costume?
Long time ago, yeah. Long time ago.
Well, we'll pull up a picture for you. You can look at her.
Pull up a current picture. Not
still looks great. Still looks great. At 62, she still looks great.
All right. You don't have to
fight
about it.
But more importantly... She looks good in the Wonder Woman costume, then that's forever. Oh. That lasts forever.
Okay, take it easy.
You would need a magic lasso to tie down my penis. That's how amazing she looks in that costume. Look at her now. That's her now, right there.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
For 62.
Oh, I hate you. Anna Paquin's 31 years old today. Elizabeth Moss is 31 as well. Summer Glau, 32 years old. Rose Byrne is 34. Jennifer Lopez turns 44 years old today. Kristen Chenoweth is 45 years old. Gus Van Sant, 61. Michael Richards, 64. Gallagher, 67. Jeffrey McStroll, one of our listeners, writes in and says, boy, that was a lot of birthdays, Ralph. How did you manage to fit Jennifer Lopez into that list? Well, you know, it's funny, Jeffrey, when I look back at the whole list of birthdays, you're right, sure is a lot of people on that list. You got not only, director Gus Van Sant and a lot of talented, beautiful actresses and basketball player turned actor Rick Fox, also celebrating his birthday. But it turns out, when you're dealing with Jennifer Lopez, no matter how many people may be on a list, no matter how much information you have.
Oh, God, no.
It turns out.
Yes?
There's always room for J-Lo!
Yay! You're dead to me.
Yeah, well. I've been worse.
You lost the 4-year-old.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Doesn't ADHD sound like something I need a prescription for to help manage?
It does,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is, in fact, Animation Domination High Def coming to Fox this fall. We are very excited to welcome Nick Weidenfeld to the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the big cheese behind it. Hey, Nick, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What's up, Kevin Bean? Lisa May, how
Hello.
Are you?
Good, thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Like millions of Americans, we have been fans of the animated series over the years on Fox. And Fox seems to own animation for some reason. But now you guys are really up in the ante with a whole bunch of new shows. Tell us about ADHD, or ADHD,
ADHD?
I'm sorry.
Well, Fox had said to me a little while ago that they had this block of, you know, time where Mad TV used to be on Saturday nights from 11 to 12:30. And because cartoons had been really successful on Sunday night, you know, with Simpsons, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, all of that stuff, all the McFarlane stuff.
Sure.
Like, well, we have this period of time. Would you want to make cartoons that are way weirder? And, you know, that there's, like, a lot less pressure. You know, it's Saturday night. Like, it's for, you know, dudes up late, hanging out.
Let's be honest. Let me add the part that you're not. Dudes that are baked out of their minds.
You said it.
Okay.
You're up at 11 o'clock. You're hanging out. You're watching TV, playing video games. Yeah, it's for guys that are wanting to zone out a bit.
Sure. And you're the perfect guy for this because you were for years over there at Adult Swim. So you were one of the guys who brought us to Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Robot Chicken and all those other stoner animated shows, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I was there for about, like 8 years. And when I started there, you know, Space Ghost and Aqua Teen and a lot of those shows that were like the stoner shows when I was in college, those were on the air. And then when I started there, it was to sort of grow it out and to work on shows like The Boondocks and Children's Hospital and a bunch of those also new animated, you know, the new cartoons that they had that sort of started from like 2004 on. So yeah, I've been making shows for stone kids for a
I think
for,
Nick
like,
might
a decade.
Be Nick might be the stoner's best friend.
I think so. Yeah. I think a lot of people would be surprised if they don't look at the ratings to see how popular Adult Swim is too. I mean, for young people, 18 to 34 year olds, as they track them in the business. I mean, a lot of times it's the number one channel on television,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, look, it's on late at night, and I think, you know, that's one of the things that Fox has gotten hip to with doing this Animation Domination High Def block is that there are, like, kids are watching stuff at night, like that 18 to 34 year old audience.
Right.
They're up late. And when Adult Swim started, there really was nothing. It was like reruns or infomercials. And, you know, there was no original programming. There was nothing new. And so they started putting stuff on. If you look at it, yeah, it's the number one network for 18 to 34 year olds, who it turns out is who advertisers really, really want
right.
the most anyway. So I think that it is number one, and it's been doing this for, you know, now, you know, since probably like 1998, 99, really. And yeah, now they sort of have a real stronghold on that day part. Now, again, there's still no competition. That's the craziest thing about all this, is that it takes this long for people to go, well, why aren't we making stuff for late night?
Right.
Because they've been doing it for so long.
Right. Now, because animation has been so popular, especially on Fox for so many years, I mean, The Simpsons, obviously, almost 25 years now, and shows like Family Guy have been on for
it's
a long time.
Crazy.
Are there a ton of young animators out there or guys who have ideas for animated shows so that when you opened up, you know, ADHD, you had a ton of new talent to choose from? Like, everybody was banging down your door to get on the channel.
Well, I mean, like, it's with ADHD, it's sort of like anything else. Yeah, it's Fox, and everyone knows how popular all this stuff is, but when you're like the new kid on the block, no one knows who you are, really. I mean, I've done work before, and I have friends that I've been, you know, worked with at Adult Swim and brought in some people that also had people, but it's hard to tell a bunch of, you know, bunch of guys, hey, come work for us, when you don't know what we are, when we don't exist, especially go leave some possible other jobs working for Cartoon Network or Disney or Pixar, whoever, you know, come to us with ideas. But yeah, I think that there are a lot of young kids. I think more than anything, it's like I wanted to be, and to some success, I wanted to be the oldest person at the company. Like, I really want young people working here. So it's like you come to the office, you're going to see it's like a lot of, you know, kids like under 25 that are working here. And I think that giving, you know, kids like really like 25 and under, kids right out of college, a chance
right.
to like have ownership in the stuff they do and to make something that's, you know, like have freedom, like that is attractive. I think then more than anything, it's just a lot of people get set in their ways when they're successful and they stop trusting you know, sure. young talent. Yeah.
Right, why? Right. Why did it take so long for the 15-minute show to catch on?
Well,
that seems so perfect to me.
It's so smart. I mean, the real history about it is that kids' cartoons have always been 11 minutes long, from like Looney Tunes to Powerpuff Girls. So when Adult Swim started, they were basically making shows the way they knew how to make shows because it was on a kids' network. And I think for everyone else, then the internet happens and everyone's like, well, short things are really great. Why aren't, that's what we want. But then, you know, all these other networks go, well, we're not used to making shows that way. Our commercial breaks are different. And
right.
everything. So I think it finally, you know, we really talk with Fox about it being like, we're going to make 11-minute shows because that's as long as a lot of people really want. What, you know, you're, like you said, you're stoned.
That's my attention span right there.
Morning. Yeah. I mean, it's like, but even if you're not, even if you're totally sober and you want to sit down and watch TV, it is about 11 minutes. If I can make it to 11 minutes without picking up my phone
yeah.
to start, like, looking at email or going on YouTube while watching a TV show, that means that TV show is really successful.
Yeah, we do have the world's shortest attention spans now, that's for sure. This is the voice of Nick Weidenfeld on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the head of Animation Domination High Def. We're talking about the new programming that starts on Fox this weekend. Saturday night, you've got Axe Cop Force at 11, and then right after that, High School USC. These are two brand-new shows to the network. What do you tell people
totally
about them who've never heard of them?
Well, Axe Cop is an easy sell. Axe Cop was created by a 5-year-old boy. So if you've just for the oddity interest alone of seeing a show by the youngest creator in the history of television.
Explain how that works, created by 5-year-old.
Well, there was a comic book a web comic that actually Nick Offerman, if you may know him as Ron Swanson.
Sure.
Nick, I had done a TV show called Children's Hospital that Nick Offerman had been on.
Love that show.
Thank you very much. And so Nick Offerman, you know, wrote me and said, hey, do you know this comic? It's created by a 5-year-old and written by a 5-year-old and drawn by his older brother. And it's called Axe Cop. And it's about what a 5-year-old thinks is the coolest, you know, most badass superhero of all time, and it's just an axe-wielding psychopath. and it's drawn by his really talented brother. And I said, well, I don't know, but I'll check it out. And he said, if you ever make this show, ever, I want to be the voice of Axe Cop. And so, you know, it took a while to work out the deal and to find the right home for it and figure out what the show was. But it is a show that's based on, you know, a project between two brothers where the 5-year-old, it was like a play. They were just playing around. He's like, okay, now Axe Cop's going to go fight the zombies. And they're in an island in space. And, you know, just the way like a 5-year-old plays and the brothers drawing out. So, you know, they have 3 comic books that came out on Dark Horse. And, you know, a lot of that is our source material. And it is, and then we also call the 5-year-old. We pull him out of school and say, hey, what happens with Bad Santa at the end of this scene?
Nice.
He goes to heaven to try to kill God and become Jesus. I mean, he's like, you're talking to a 5-year-old. So
it's crazy.
Crazy. So I think it's brilliant. I think the voice cast is amazing. If you like Children's Hospital, it's Ken Marino, it's Nick Offerman, it's Rob Hubel, there's Patton Oswalt and Nick Offerman's wife, Megan Mullally, who you may remember from Will and Grace.
Sure.
Like it's a great cast of people, like a lot of the cast of Breaking Bad. Like, it's really awesome. But just for the oddity alone, I would say that anybody that's up at 11 or wants to go on to FoxADHD.com even now to watch the episode that aired on Sunday, just for the interest alone of handing over the reins to a 5-year-old, you should do it.
I like it.
Yeah, it may be over your head, Kevin. That's my only concern about this show. And finally, we're in our final moments here with Nick.
Sure.
High School USA is the other one. This is kind of, it's like an old school Archie Andrews comic, but definitely in the 21st century, right?
Yeah, it's like the most sort of screwed up, sort of perverted version of Archie's. It's like about if you took the nice, basically it's like those kids were so nice when you look back at Archie's because they were just probably so dumb.
Right.
So you're taking kids now and having those sort of really innocent, nice kids have to deal with very, very real problems, whether it's like, you know, sexting and like having a picture of your, you know, of your private parts go viral in your school or dealing with bullying or, you know, just all the very, very real things that a kid has to deal with now that, you know, that's what this show is about, but done in sort of a very over-the-top way. I mean, I'd like to think of it as, you know, if, like, the South Park kids grew up and you were dealing with them in high school.
Right. Axe Cop and High School USA this Saturday night at 11 on the Fox Network. Nick Weidenfeld, thanks so much for the time, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You bet. Thanks. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Beer Mug and Hot Topic, two great tastes that taste great together. Muggs is going to be in Downey this afternoon at the Stonewood Center from 1 until 3 o'clock. He's going to have the new K-Rock sticker there for you. Of course, you can fill out the back or enter online at krock.com with the information from the back of the sticker. Maybe win a private performance with Linkin Park for you and 10 friends, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card. That's a lot of Marilyn Manson t-shirts, by the way, for $500, right? Beer Mug will be there. You'll also have what kind of stuff you're going to be giving away today, Muggs?
I have Rancid tickets, X Games VIP passes, tons of CD shirts, and my beautiful face.
Fantastic.
You're giving away your beautiful face?
That's awesome.
Someone take it.
Hot Topic and Downey at the Stonewood Center. Go by and see Beer Mug. Do they spontaneously start chanting Fire Beer Mug when you show up at those things?
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing I hear when I show up.
Okay. Good.
That's the way it should be.
Rob is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning.
Someone's tuning in the radio here. We're going to make sure we're tuned in. What's going on over there?
This guy. Who? What do you think's going on over here? Where's Beer Mug? Is he over here?
Fire Beer Mug, sorry. Hold on.
No, I'm good. I'll be right here.
Ad lib for a minute.
Okay, no worries.
And go.
Oh, my gosh.
That happened. That happened.
Imagine every day you go to work, they insist that you take your shoes off at the door, and then there's just fresh broken glass in your office that you have to walk across. Imagine that's your work day.
That's what it's like here?
That's what it's like working at K-Rock.
You should have heard the previous 5 minutes before you came into the studio. We were having a conversation with Muggs about how he's doing these hot topics, and he's gone every day at noon. And I was like, you know, some people, when they get run ragged, they don't perform quite as well as others.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, some people don't perform well.
I perform the top of my game.
And then there's no music ready right after that.
Doesn't help that Omar's out, though.
That had nothing to do with this.
Okay.
Zero.
Yeah, because true, Omar is the guy usually responsible for playing the Showbiz Beat music when I do the segment. Oh, wait a minute.
All right. Let's get to it.
Say your sausage somewhere else. Where's your beer mug? Amanda Bynes' dog update. The dog has been found. The dog is safe.
All right.
Oh, everyone God. Breathe. Everyone relax.
Is the dog covered with gasoline?
No, I believe it has been rinsed.
Good.
Dried, fluffed, and folded.
They folded the dog?
They folded the dog. It has been pressed. It's steamed. It's been reupholstered. All is well with the dog. So all the dog lunatics... just calm the F down.
I don't think it makes you a lunatic to have some concern about a dog whose owner douses it in gasoline.
Yeah.
I think that's a responsible
Many more people much more concerned about the dog than the old lady living in the house.
With the Moe Howard haircut?
Who could have been in just a conflagration.
Where'd they find the dog?
With her mom and dad.
Oh, good.
They picked it up.
That's what we were hoping because they were in the neighborhood.
Well, yeah, you should be happy. They did a great job raising Amanda, so I'm sure they'll take care of that good dog. I'm sure that'll all go well for them. This is sad news. Dennis Farina, of course, passed away this week. Now more details coming out about his death. He apparently died of a lung clot in his lung that was a result of a reoccurrence of lung cancer. Apparently, he had lung cancer 13 years ago, had an operation to remove the tumor. It was never publicized, so no one put two and two together. But the recurrence apparently did contribute to the blood clot that caused his death. So, sad news. But it's okay, because there's a dog still alive. So
the dog is safe.
So there's a dog somewhere that's alive. So, it's okay if Dennis Freeman's dead. Sure. Sharknado! People love the Sharknado.
People love talking about it. The people who love it
didn't
watch it.
I thought that too. Everyone didn't watch it.
Right.
And then everyone started talking about it.
Right.
And then they reran it. 38% more people tuned in for the rerun.
All right.
So they increased their audience by, a little less than half. So it was 1 million for the first run. It was 1.5 for the second, practically.
They were kind of disappointed with the ratings the first go-around, weren't they, Ralph?
No, it was pretty solid for a basic cable original movie.
But it was way lower than a lot of the other sci-fi ones in that
series.
Well,
the one Ralph was in, sure.
Ooh, yeah. It was no Sharktopus.
About a mil shy of Sharktopus. What are you going to do? Anyway, they're going to rerun it on the 27th again, so if you still haven't seen it.
That's Saturday night.
Here's your chance Saturday night. All day Saturday, apparently, they're doing another Sharkathon where they're going to have all their shark-themed movies on sci-fi will be shown, so... Don't miss out.
Are they showing Sharktopus? Sharktopus?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the lineup. I can't imagine they would do a shark.
Right.
Sharkathon without throwing the puss in there.
Yeah. Damn you, Sharktopus!
Gotta put the puss in.
That's what I've
heard. Gotta be in, you gotta be in Big Ass Spider, the one you were telling us about earlier. That sounds awesome, too.
Another film you might want to check out. Big Ass Spider. Coming to a theater near you the week before Halloween. Starring Greg Grunberg, our buddy Greg stars in this. It's about a giant spider strolling through Los Angeles, crawling over buildings, destroying things, catching people in its web.
Another one of those.
Another giant spider movie. Big Ass Spider is its name. Or Bass, as we're calling it around the office.
This is too good to be true, that this is actually going to be in a movie theater.
I think it's perfectly good enough to be perfectly true. Claire Kramer also stars. Ray Weiss also stars in the film. And my buddy Lombardo Boyer, who played Chico in the most recent Joe Schmo show, he is also one of the stars. And it previewed at South by Southwest, the film festival, earlier this year, and people apparently laughed their asses off. So, Big Ass Spider.
Somebody's going to get to
look
say.
Look for it soon, won't you?
That's a big ass spider.
That's a big ass spider. We got to have those people in. We have to do breakfast with Big Ass Spider, I think, when things are getting ready to come out. And this is, I don't know whether this is good or not. You remember the old show, The Partridge Family? The mom from that show, Shirley Jones.
Sure.
Oscar-winning actress?
Oscar-winning actress, musical theater performer, movie star before she went to television in the 70s, starred in the legendary series, The Partridge Family. She has written a surprisingly graphic autobiography. There's a lot. It seems to be a lot of sex in this. Maybe she's trying to allay the illusion that she's this wholesome, pure person because she talks a lot about sex in this, including all the kinds of kinky sex she had with her husband, including a three-way with her husband, Jack Cassidy, him dressing up in women's lingerie.
What?
The enormous size of his unit, the tremendous size of her stepson, David Cassidy's unit.
Huh.
All right.
She also talks about how now at the age of 79, her husband still finds her so beautiful, she likes to take off all her clothes and shake her breasts at him.
No!
Is that if he doesn't do what she says?
Right, that's punishment.
That's punishment? Yeah. He's in the hospital in traction right now, apparently. Bam! Whapped him with one of those...
Knockout punches.
Those knockout punches, yeah.
This book is Kevin's worst nightmare, by the way. Old people
it is.
Sex.
I don't want to read it.
Well, she went... A lot of the sex stories depend on she was young and hot back then, Kevin, so you can just imagine that. Today's celebrity
birthdays.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Anna Paquin, 31 years old today. Elizabeth Moss is 31 as well. Summer Glau is 32. A bell really for Elizabeth Moss, by the way?
I think so.
If you see her in other shows, she's actually very attractive.
I mean, they kind of dump her up a little bit for Mad Men, but she, when you see her on talk shows, she brings it, man.
I'd like to question that. Just because it's Bean.
Summer Glau's 32 years old. Rose Byrne is 34. Basketball player turned actor Rick Fox turns 44 years old. Jennifer Lopez is 44, too. Kristen Chenoweth is 45. Gus Van Sant, the director, is 61. Michael Richards from Seinfeld turns 64. Comedian Gallagher, the guy who hits melons with a sledgehammer. That is a racket right there. You do that, and then you do it for... I don't know, 30 years?
That's your career.
And you keep going, and they keep booking you and paying you into clubs to smash a melon with a hammer?
Yep.
That's a pretty good racket.
That dude's probably making more than all of us combined.
Easily.
And he is smashing watermelons.
I think him and his twin brother both tour, so he makes twice as much money both pretending to be Gallagher. It's insane. You can make a living smashing fruit with a hammer. And, of course, the reason we celebrate the day, Linda Carter, TV's Wonder Woman, celebrates her birthday today. Let me try that again. Wonder Woman! Nope,
just,
nothing.
Sure sounded I got nothing. Like he was, there was going to be a...
Sure thought that we sent in about an hour ago, we sent in some music for that particular moment where I would say, Wonder Woman! Wonder Woman! All the world is waiting for you, and the power you possess.
In your satin tights, fighting for our rights.
It was a bad theme.
In your satin tights, fighting for our rights. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman is 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Counting on you.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Beach. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Make a hawk a dove. Stop a war with love. Wonder Woman.
Rob Hubel will be here. Talking about Children's Hospital, among other things. We have three grandma videos that we want to introduce you to. Yes, it's a menage a grandma.
Oh, it's Kevin's nightmare.
On tomorrow's show. We also have Psycho Mike talking about running around Comic-Con as Supergirl.
Yes.
New video for you. And the Wolverine himself, Hugh Jackman.
What the what?
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Beach.